The Joe Rogan Experience.
Train by day, Joe Rogan podcast by night, all day.
So, Brian Callen and I are ready to take it to the next level. On the 14th, Steve Rinella returns to the podcast, and we'll be discussing future hunting dates.
Yes.
We're going to do it again.
I'm excited.
Dude, we could have a show. We could have a show. Just, you know, like, it would be the best show on those stupid networks. You and I hunting, like, a couple times a year, and cut it up into, you know, like, a bunch of different episodes.
Count me in.
Because, I mean, think about how much funny shit would happen. There would be a lot of people angry at us for what we're doing, though.
Well,
a lot
you
of
know.
People would be like, you're hunting.
Nobody has ever mixed comedy animals. And hunting, so they should all come.
No one's ever mixed cage fighting and comedy either.
That's true.
But that's apparently that works.
Yeah.
Yeah. This works too.
I'm excited. So where are we going hunting?
Most likely Alaska.
Really?
Yeah.
But are we going to hunt hog there?
No. Oh. If we do it between now and August, we'll be going to Alaska.
Hey, but are we going to
hunt Well, rather, we could go and hunt bears, which I didn't want to do for a while until I started watching all these Alaska shows.
Yeah, I don't want
to. I had a misconception about bears. First of all, I had a misconception about whether or not they're delicious. And apparently, black bears, they taste really good.
Yeah.
And people love them.
Well,
and
according to his book, depending on what they've been eating, but yeah, they're eating blueberries, it tastes literally like blueberries.
Yeah, so you want to go where the blueberries are, yeah, and you shoot them in the spring, and apparently they're delicious.
Yeah.
I'm definitely still not into shooting anything that I'm not going to eat.
Yeah, like, I don't want to kill a bear, though. I like bears.
Why do you like bears?
I don't know. I just like them.
Bears can suck my dick. I don't like bears at all.
Why?
Because they're assholes. Bears don't give a fuck about you.
Bears are assholes.
Bears have blank eyes, and they would eat your face if you stood still. Bears
don't
even kill you. Do you know what bears do? They just start eating.
Yeah.
They just start eating.
Well, just don't be in their territory.
That's a tricky thing with omnivores. Like chimps, same thing. They just start eating.
Well, chimps, I talked to the guy at San Diego Zoo. And he said, you don't have any chimps. He goes, nah, just bonobos. I said, well,
wait a minute. They have bonobos in captivity. Where?
In bonobos, I think in, they do, in San Diego Zoo.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting. You sure they're bonobos?
Yeah.
Well, for some reason, I thought that no one has bonobos in captivity.
Bonobos are amazing. They're matriarchal.
But they fuck so much. That's why I thought that no one has them.
He said that bonobos are really sexual. He said chimpanzees solve everything with violence. He said that the first thing you'll see with chimps is they'll have scarred up wrists because the minute they get in a fight, they cover their genitals because they go for each other's balls so you can't breed. He said that's why they go for the face and the genitals and your hands. They want to scar you up. They want to finish you.
Yeah, this is one of I guess the San Diego Zoo is one of the first zoos to have them.
Yep, I went and saw it.
They're quite possibly the most intelligent primates on Earth, other than humans, and they have bonobos. Well, that you're gonna watch a fuck show if you watch them, because if you go there, all they do is fuck.
Yeah, well, it's a female-dominated society, you know.
Yeah, it's a matriarchal society, but it's also completely orgiastic. Like everybody fucks everybody, except the mother doesn't fuck the son. That's the only.
That's the only line they draw.
That sucks.
Yeah, if your mom's hot, you're out of luck.
Yeah.
But I guess you could just fuck everybody else. The good news is you can fuck your dad.
Okay.
So.
Good news, everybody.
Good news, everybody.
Can you imagine Father's Day, how horrible that would be?
Bears are beautiful to look at and everything. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I think they're beautiful. But bears are ruthless, heartless, emotionless monsters. That's what they are.
All animals for the most part,
for the most part, they're not attacking you. So our opinion of them is based on that. But the reality is they can attack you.
Yeah.
And when they attack you, they might as well be a fucking werewolf. It might as well be some monster from movie that doesn't exist because it's just as terrifying.
Well, since you said that we were going to go hunting in Alaska in August, I think like 20% of my brain every single day, and that's a large percentage, is constantly occupied with the hybrid possibilities of a polar bear / grizzly bear, thank you, global warming, coming into our camp. Because remember, polar bear will stalk and hunt you. You're meat. And so I'll be sleeping in your tent, just so you know. And I'll be sleeping with a handgun.
Polar bears are the only bears that are completely carnivorous.
Yeah.
There's no vegetable matter where they live. There's no fruits. There's no anything. And they don't. So their bodies are not designed to process that.
Yeah.
And they're also the only mammal that hunts people actively, automatically, right from birth.
Right.
They see people and they're like, I'll eat that. Yep. Whatever's moving, they're like, I'll eat that.
Well, they had this baby polar bear. It was small, like, and it became like, you know, it was probably 3 months, 5 months, whatever. They couldn't put that into a cage with the other polar bears. Not in a million years.
They would eat it.
They would eat it right away.
They'd right away. Right away. They're cannibals.
Yeah.
They live in the most ferocious environment. Grizzlies are cannibals too. Grizzlies kill their pups all the time when shit goes bad, when they run out of food.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they kill their cubs.
Wow.
And they eat them. Yeah.
That's
they
hard.
Eat their own babies. They can suck it. Okay, I'll shoot them right in their stinky heart.
Not me. I like bears.
No. You say that, but if a bear was trying to kill you,
yeah, that's different.
Yeah, you would realize.
I'll have my guns at the ready.
Team people, bitch. Okay, I'm not saying you should go and shoot grizzlies. I don't want to shoot grizzlies because apparently grizzlies you can't eat.
Oh, yeah.
They don't taste good. I guess it's because of they're such predators.
Yeah.
Which is weird because mountain lions are 100% carnivorous and you can eat them and apparently they're quite tasty.
Actually, according to Steve Brunella's book, they are, you got to cook them for a long time.
Mountain lion?
And yeah, it's a real crapshoot. A lot of times they're not tasty.
Oh, really?
And if you eat, and sometimes people, in eating a grizzly or if they've been eating fish, it's going to taste like fish. Yeah. It's going to be like...
Yeah, but I like fish.
Well, yeah, but apparently it's not a good-tasting fish.
It's like
the other thing about bear that he talks about in his book is you have to cook it really, really well because you'll get trichinosis and other things because...
Yes.
Because they eat rotting meat. They'll,
right.
If they come across, you know, deer or caribou, they'll...
Sure.
Eat,
yeah, so. The same with hogs.
Yeah.
Yeah,
which is actually one of the reasons you don't eat carnivores. They always say that you're not supposed to eat carnivores because of that. They carry parasites.
Isn't that odd? Because you eat fish.
Yeah.
And fish are 100% carnivores.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
most of them, I mean, I guess a few of them eat vegetables, those little pussies.
It's the exception.
This episode is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. If you're looking for something to do this summer, you might want to check out some of the upcoming fights. Even better, if you can catch them up close in person. It's quite an experience. But if you want to get the best seats, you have to act fast. And that's true for a lot of things in life, especially when it comes to hiring for your business. You need to hire the most talented people you can before the competition scoops them up. And to do that, you need ZipRecruiter. And luckily, you can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. Got your eye on a rock star candidate? ZipRecruiter's invite to apply feature lets you cut the line. Once you review ZipRecruiter's list of the most qualified candidates for your job, you can easily invite your top choices to apply to encourage them to apply sooner. So, amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan to try it for free right now. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/Rogan. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Guys, you're responsible for taking care of you, and that means spending some time cleaning yourself up. But I know that can be a challenge, especially when you're not sure what products or razors to use. So to help you get started, I want to recommend Manscaped. They can help you take care of all your grooming needs, even when it comes to your more sensitive areas, or as our friends at Manscaped like to call them, the boys. Their trimmers, the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, 4.0 Pro, and 5.0 Ultra are all equipped with skin-safe technology to help reduce the risk of grooming accidents. They're also waterproof and come with an LED spotlight so you can actually see what you're shaving. And I know that summer's coming, which means vacations and traveling for a lot of you. Well, Manscaped has you covered. Their trimmers come with a convenient travel case that you can easily pack and bring along. For the best you and your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code Rogan at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code Rogan at manscaped.com. Tap the banner to learn more. Skin-safe technology does not guarantee cut protection.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? I mean, like, think about lobster. Lobster, they eat nothing but rotten meat at the bottom of the ocean, and they're delicious.
Yeah.
They're, like, the best-tasting thing ever.
Well, a lobster and, I think, shrimp are related to lice and other insects.
They're related to roaches.
And when I read that, I was like, oh.
We found out they were related to roaches on Fear Factor when a guy had an allergic reaction. He was eating roaches. And he was allergic to shellfish.
Whoa.
Yeah, same thing. Same enzymes, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, you look at it, I mean, it's real fucking similar.
Yeah,
you know, a crab is like a thick-shelled bug.
Yeah. Exactly what it is.
I mean, it's the same fucking thing. Same as a spider.
Delicious. This,
apparently spiders taste good.
Like, really?
Big fat tarantulas, very crab-like.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. If you cook them right.
Yeah, but what about all the spines?
I don't know.
I guess you burn them off.
I guess you burn them off, yeah.
Singe those fuckers off.
Yeah, because on tarantulas, they have those little weird microscopic little fibers that dig into your skin.
One of the things I took from that trip, being out there in the middle of the Badlands, is how fucked you would be if you had to go hunt. First of all, if you were by yourself, because you'd freeze to death, and I don't give a shit what anybody says. Secondly, if you had to go hunt your own food, you'd be out there cold and hungry as shit without a prayer.
It's hard, man. And it's even hard. I mean, what we were at was at one point in time an ocean. And it was, like, really...
The clay.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of, like, vegetable matter. Uh-huh. So it was really weird. The way you were walking around, like, these gigantic empty hills all over the place. And you'd get to the top of one, and it gets really freaky. When you get to the top of them, and then you look out at how big this area where there's no people is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's unbelievably vast.
And it's cold as fuck.
Yeah, and you can fall.
And you can fall. And by the way, there are cactuses everywhere. So just at the very minimal, you're going to be dealing with a pain in the ass.
Yeah. It's so harsh.
Yeah.
And that's why when Brian and I were there, Steve Rinella explained to us that this is where Lewis and Clark had gone. We actually camped in the same campground our first night where Lewis and Clark had stayed.
Yep.
And a bunch of people tried to live out there. They tried to what's called homesteading, where they give you a piece of land, and if you can farm it for like a couple of years or
they
whatever.
They tried to grow like dry weed, I think it's called, and they just couldn't even do that.
Shit, it's mud.
Yeah.
Everything is just gooey, bottom of a lake mud.
You just end up just hating life
out there. It was the Great Western Inland Sea, I think it was called, and there used to be dinosaurs there, and it's a really freaky place.
Well, even Lewis and Clark, when they went through that area, I read, didn't see any Native Americans.
Yeah.
No Blackfeet or anything because they couldn't live there.
Yeah, apparently they would visit it every now and then on hunting trips and then go back, but that's it. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, when you get into like a sparse sort of a situation, like, God damn, we got to go find those fucking crazy deer in the Badlands.
Yeah.
Because those deer are just running around. There's not that many of them, and there's the occasional mountain lion that's running around jacking them.
It's crazy.
We found mountain lion shit. Did you see any of that up there?
No.
It was fat ropes of hair.
That's weird.
Yeah, like shit with hair in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, so you know something's been jacking people.
Yep.
Or jacking deers, rather.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a harsh place, man. If you had to live there, I'm not really sure you could.
No,
even
I don't think you could.
Of us, the guys that were there, if we had to...
Condos.
Even living in if you look at the New Guinea, in New Guinea, Papua New Guinea, where people have been living for forever, they're mostly malnourished, always were, because they had to eat like things like bark root and things like just stuff that just grows in swamps that has no nutritional value.
Yeah.
You have to harvest insects in the air and make mashes of them and roast them.
Yeah,
I've
seen that.
It sucks.
Dude,
it's the fucking shittiest life in the world. You spend all day, not only are you spending all day fucking harvesting bugs and fucking bark root, that's delicious, but then you're most likely to die from inner tribal conflict. You can only have small tribes, you know. You couldn't support a lot of people on such little food, so you had to walk around as small bands of families, and then they would come across each other and be like, you're in our territory, and it'd be a fight. It's fucking...
Yeah, the fly sandwiches.
Yeah, fly balls.
That is the craziest thing. They do it with mosquitoes too.
Yeah, yeah. they take a net and it's insane. Yeah.
Well, they use a pot. They take a pot, like a metal pot, and they wing it through the mosquitoes over and over again. And they stick to the bottom. They slam into the bottom, and then you like do like this with your hands and make a cake of it, and then they fry the cake.
Mm.
They make mosquito hamburgers.
Delicious.
Have you seen it?
Yep. Yes,
you've seen
the
videos?
That's what I'm talking about, yeah.
It's so disturbing.
Yeah, it's a ball of fucking bug.
Yeah, that part of the world sucks a fat one.
Yeah, I'd move.
Yeah, well, it's because that's what it is. It's like they don't know what the fuck to do, man.
Sam Sheridan lived with the Inuit, you know, and he was like, you're going to eat meat and seal. If you didn't catch a seal that winter, you were living in the dark for 8 months.
How long did Sam live with them for?
For like I think a week or something. He's writing his book 2 weeks, but he said everything's a refrigerator, right? So you got he wore these wolf mittens, these wolf fur mittens, and you just would leave them outside. They weren't cured. You just leave them outside. So when you actually skin an animal, you can actually wear the fur without curing it or worrying about it. But like you're always he said, well, you guys are really a master fisherman and stuff. And the woman goes, we used to starve to death all the time.
We would end up
trying to kill our dogs to eat. But the problem is you couldn't kill too many dogs because then the bears would come and kill you. So you were just always living. So if you didn't get a seal, one seal, that you were done for the winter because you didn't have oil to burn. So you were living, remember, it's dark 24/7 sometimes for 4 months of the year, 5 months of the year. You're living in the dark, eating raw fish in your igloo, okay?
Ugh.
Yeah, that's what it was like. Can't see anything, so you're not going anywhere. Oh, you have no fire. You're staying in your igloo, and you're hoping you have enough fish.
There's no firewood, right? There's nothing to burn.
No, they would burn. They would burn oil. Yeah.
Jesus.
How's that?
Christ.
And they would line their igloos with like seal fur, but
nothing to keep you warm. There's nothing. Just body heat.
Yeah, and they've anatomically evolved so that their hands and feet don't get cold.
Yeah, I've saw that.
Yeah.
That's freaky, man.
Yeah.
It's freaky to realize that probably only took place over a few thousand years.
Yeah, and they all have frostbite on their faces, on their cheeks.
All of them do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
All frostbitten cheeks.
They just deal with it?
Yeah. Scar tissue.
Scarring all over your face.
Yeah. They would get around on mush sleds. They still do. And now they use snowmobiles. But he was like, you know, you're on a fucking, your dogs. And only, I think it's only one species of dog, not huskies. They're a type of husky. The only one dog, about 45, 50 pounds. Those are the only dogs that can survive, that can live in that cold.
Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah.
What a shit way to live. But what an amazing thing that people are willing to try it.
I think, like anything else, human beings get used to
anything.
Anything. When you're in jail forever, you get used to, you figure it out.
Yeah,
when
that's why rich people are fucked. They get used to being rich.
That's right.
They get used
having
to
everything you
being
want.
Lazy. Like kids born rich.
It fucks them up.
I bet it does.
It's called the wealth of handicap of wealth.
Yeah. Do you worry about that with your son? Do you think, like,
yes.
I got to make sure this little motherfucker, like,
yeah,
starts
but
wrestling practice,
yes,
develops some discipline?
I was going to say, one of the ways out is sports.
Yeah.
And learning how to lose properly and learning how to win, and you know.
That's very huge.
It's huge. Sports teach you how tough you're not and how to lose, not just how to win. And mainly teach you how to do things like recognize plateaus.
Yeah.
You know, people always, that's what I always tell young people. I go, look, accomplishment, when you're trying to accomplish something, all you have to do in some ways is have a good teacher so you're practicing correctly and show up every day. And you're going to find long time periods of time where you just hit plateaus. Where, you know, I tried to write today and I was like, my head was all over the place. Why? It doesn't matter. The point is I tried to write. You just show up every day, you know. You can take your breaks, of course, but, you know, for the most part, you've got to kind of like familiarize yourself with the peaks, valleys, and plateaus of accomplishment.
Yeah,
if not,
well,
you'll
I think
run.
One of the things about sports is that the accomplishments are clearly defined. They're very obvious. Have you been successful at getting the ball into the hole?
That's true.
No. If not, why?
Yeah.
You know, have you been successful at wrestling people? If not, why?
Yeah.
You know, and you either adjust and work accordingly and use your intelligence to sort of figure out whatever puzzle it is, whatever mm-hmm. game you're playing and whatever the parameters are, or you don't. It's that simple. Whereas, like, socially, there's a lot of bullshit and there's a lot of gray area. And, you know, you might think you're cool because you listen to the right records and you dress the right way and you live in the right neighborhood. But really not. Really not. Really, you don't have any character because you've never had a test.
I was about to say that. You know, I was just thinking about it as you were saying that. I think socially, whether or not you're a most entertaining person or not, I really think that a huge way to fix a social issue you may have is just be honest. Like, you and I always talk about, like, just don't lie, man. Don't lie to your friends. Just be really honest about it. If you're having problems, if you have, like, an issue, whatever it is, if you're open and upfront about it, and don't take yourself too seriously. If you can do that.
That's hard. That requires a lot of personal assessment. And this goes back to sports,
right,
or anything, especially martial arts. I've always said the best way to stop bullying is to teach everyone how to fight.
Yeah.
And you know why? Because the big guys won't be bullying. If they're actually training and learning how to fight. I don't know good fighters that are bullies. It's much more rare than regular big people who aren't bullies.
That's right.
Regular big people, there's a lot of bullies,
yeah,
especially if they're like insecure and that's the only thing that they have.
Yeah.
It's like a girl whose personality sucks, but she's got big tits. We're going to see those tits everywhere she goes.
Right.
She's going to make sure she knows where, you know, where her asset lies.
Personal assessment.
Yeah. And dudes who become bullies, it's like,
what do you think? That's you just brought up something that's interesting to me, like about the way to teach, stop bullying, teach everybody to fight, which I couldn't agree more with.
It's true.
What would you 100%. Do about this gun issue?
That's a much more complicated issue than just bullying, but I think it could solve the. I really brought it up
because you said, "What does it mean? Do you have armed guards? I mean, is that how you stop it? What do you?"
There's a bunch of issues with the school shooting thing, with any mass shooting. There's a ton of issues involved here, and not in the least of them is the mental state of human beings today. Take medication aside, you know, put it as a variable. I know a lot of people resist that variable, especially people who are proponents of antidepressants, especially people who have enjoyed the effects of antidepressants, because apparently antidepressants can make a lot of people happy, and I'm not disputing that. But there's something going on with the state of mind of a human being who's willing to do something unbelievably horrific to affect a large group of people. Mm. That is it's got to be the result of that sort of mass scale destruction. It's like you want to affect people in the most horrific way. This guy who shot children, he wanted to affect people in the most horrific way. Mm. Why? We have to get to the root of that. What makes a person do that? You can't do that, okay? You would never do that. I know you. You would never be a school shooting. You'd never shoot babies. No. So who would shoot babies and why? What the fuck makes a person like that? And that's not the gun issue.
No.
And that's not a fertilizer bomb issue. And it's not a nuclear issue. Right. It's an issue of humanity.
Right.
What is it about us where we have failed as a culture so much that even we have one example out of a million like that? How does that happen in a community of people who can read, who are aware of each other's presence? How can you get to a point where you got a guy like that who's willing and able to do something like
that? The question then from that is, I think there have always been what you just described a lot of times. One of the classic definitions of a sociopath, a psychotic sociopath, is they will do something horrific to watch the effect.
Mm-hmm.
That's how they get power. That's how they get pleasure. And there are a lot of different examples of that. And so psychologists, I read a book called The Sociopath Next Door, where she talks exactly about that. The other issue might be, if we agree that we're always going to have sociopaths, it's an aberration in the gene pool, the culture, whatever, like the guy from Columbine, one kid was suicidal, the other kid had a history of being a sadistic sociopath.
Or another style of it, Bernie Madoff. It's
right.
It's a different
exactly.
style of sociopath.
Exactly. The question becomes, I guess, is there a discussion to be had about how to keep these lethal weapons out of those kind of people's hands? If it's a public health issue, and we can figure out a way to get these people at least monitored or helped in some way, or not, or locked up if they're mm-hmm. sociopaths. It seems to me that the variable is the availability of lethal guns. Now, I own guns, so I'm not – I don't really know how to address – I don't know. I don't know how to address the
problem. It's a very interesting point, and I think you'd be silly if you didn't agree with that. The issue is, though, that the National Rifle Association and gun enthusiasts in general are not willing to give any ground whatsoever. And they don't want it anymore because they want to be able to own these guns. They want to be able to go out and buy, like my friend Anthony Cumia. He has a 50 caliber gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's like you can shoot a hole through a fucking building.
It's in fact against the Geneva Conventions, I believe. You can look it up. You can't use it against personnel because you come apart.
Well, he has one of those.
Yeah.
Why does he have one of those? Because he's crazy.
Yeah.
He wants to own it. But I'm not worried about him shooting up anybody.
No.
He's just a gun enthusiast.
Right.
And their thoughts are they should be able to be a gun enthusiast. And I agree with that. I agree with that as well.
Yeah.
If you are a law-abiding citizen who follows rules and regulations and, you know, you're not an insane person, you're not a sociopath, and Anthony's a perfect example of he's not none of those.
Right.
He's not a bad guy. He just wants to be able to have that gun, and I feel that he should be able to do that.
Right.
I really do.
I mean, it's
crazy as it sounds.
Well, I mean, I own guns, and I don't want somebody taking my guns away.
I don't want someone telling me how much horsepower my car can have.
Right.
I don't want someone telling me how warm my house can be.
Right.
I don't want someone telling me, you know, how much fuel are you using.
I don't want that.
I don't believe that you should be allowed to control very much about other people's lives when it's not affecting you.
Right.
And, you know, there's the arguments about the use of fossil fuels and using your share and all that. That is not the way to handle that, by stopping people from using things.
No, it's technology. We've already developed the technology. We're going to have cars that run. My car runs on 50 miles before it needs a gallon.
You have a golf cart. You don't have a car.
It's a dishwasher with wheels.
Manly about
it
that.
It bugs you, doesn't
it's
it?
Terrifying.
Hates my Prius.
There's so much in you that wants to come out.
It's
and
so
it,
true.
It would come out with a Shelby GT500. That's what you need to get a hold of. 662 horsepower.
Jesus.
Yeah, baby. With a real V8 sound.
I'll just drive the speed limit.
Just
knowing
hit
me.
The gas.
I'm usually too distracted. I'm thinking.
You want to feel that on
never
your
did much
fucking
for me.
Seat. Yeah. You say that because you never had one.
Yeah,
trust
right.
me. Jesus Christ, son.
Probably
you trust
right.
me? Trust me.
The Shelby, huh?
You trusted me
with the Shelby.
Yes, get a fucking American muscle car, man. You have to get an automatic. Go get a Challenger, SRT8.
Really?
Those beautiful things. Yeah, with a big fucking Hemi in it. They make an automatic for a pussy like you.
Dove David laughs at me. He's like, you fucking... He can't believe I drive a Prius.
It's a sad car.
It.
You and Fitzsimmons. Fitzsimmons at least admits it, though. He loves
muscle
cars.
Yeah, I'm not
cars.
A Prius guy most of my life. Like, I don't think that way, but... I'm just so lazy with cars. I literally got it because I didn't want to get out of the car as
often. After this, let's go to the Ford dealership and go for a little drive.
Stop pushing me, man.
Come on, man.
No peer pressure.
Come on, man. If you want to get something reasonable, get like an M3 or something. Get something that's got some fucking pickup.
I had
shut your mouth. Shut your mouth.
Whatever.
This episode is brought to you by Hostage Tape. First of all, what a great name. This is a product that I use, and I started using long before it was an ad. Your sleep game is about to get a whole lot better, kids, because I want to introduce you to Hostage Tape. Put simply, it is tape for your mouth. But you're probably wondering why you should even need that. Well, if you're a mouth breather, if you snore a lot, or if you suffer from sleep apnea, this could make a big difference. This mouth tape can reduce or eliminate snoring and apnea, and at the same time, it'll help filter the air going to your lungs, increase your oxygen uptake, and improve circulation, which will make you feel more energized. It has tons of other benefits, too, like it helps with bad breath, dry mouth, and, of course, better sleep. For you and your partner, don't let bad sleep hold you hostage. Shut your fucking mouth with Hostage Tape. Buy it today and get a special buy two, get one free offer. That's a 90-day supply. Just visit HostageTape.com/Rogan. That's HostageTape.com/Rogan.
We were going to get an Audi. What happened with that?
I just found it cramped.
You found it cramped.
A little cramped, the A5. I was like,
you're driving in a lunchbox.
I like the feeling of my Prius was like half as much money and
you cheap. Fuck.
And no, and I only had to get out of the car. You have to get out of the car three times more with an Audi. I was like, I'll just drive this. It's easier.
Listen,
I was lazy.
We gotta get you doing more podcasts so you sell more comedy tickets so you feel comfortable getting a real fucking car.
Speaking of which, I'll be in San Francisco at the Punchline January 16th, 17th, 18th, 19th. Come
and
get some.
That's a great club. That's one of the great clubs in the country. Without a doubt, the Punchline in San Francisco is one of the top clubs on earth. We're Friday. We're tonight, actually. We're at the Ice House.
Oh, can I do a quick – go ahead.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to do a quick promo. Thanks, iTunes, for rating 10-minute podcast in the top three comedies of 2012.
Yeah.
I was really pumped. And
are you like Tourette's or something? Why would you say that in the middle of someone else saying something else? Totally
I'm sorry,
unrelated.
I was saying, I was asking you if I could promote.
What's wrong with you?
Sorry.
But why would you do that? Why would you do that? We're talking about the exact day of the show. We're saying, we've got a show tonight. You're like, can I just stop you?
I'm sorry.
Can I stop you right now and talk about
it's
myself?
It's the weed. I'm sorry.
That's a ridiculous thing to do. Sorry, I thought you were going to say something related that you had to get out. No,
I thought you
completely just turned it on yourself.
Oh, sorry.
There was no reason to
stop that. I thought
I'd
piggyback
That's not piggyback.
On
we have
about...
a show tonight, you fuck. A show at the Ice House Comedy Club in the small room. It's Brian Redban, not Brian Callen. Tripley's? Yeah,
Sam
Tripley, Jason
man.
Teeb, Kevin Christie.
Oh, great.
All very cool people. And it's like the most intimate room in L.A. It's in Pasadena, actually, so it's not even in L.A. But
yeah, it's a great room. I love that room.
It's the little room only seats like 80 people.
Yeah.
It's a good place to fuck around and work out. And so it's like one of the most fun places to come. So it's tonight, 10 o'clock. How much?
$15, I
15
think.
Bucks. And it's the Ice House. The Ice House, which is like the greatest fucking club in the history of the San Fernando Valley, but it's not even in the San Fernando Valley. It's in a different valley.
Yeah.
What valley
it is,
is
actually.
That? What valley
yeah,
is
it
that?
Yeah, it is.
No,
isn't
is it Burbank? No, I don't think so. Pasadena's not the San Fernando. What is that?
I think it's...
Whatever it is. It's right near Altadena. Figure it out, bitch. It's on the way to Big Bear.
Yeah.
But that's tonight at 10 p.m. Go home, wash your pussy, put on your favorite T-shirt.
It's a cool room because we all just kind of pretty much fuck around with new material. So it's not like a regular show where it's usually like sets. It's a lot of fucking around. So it's fun. Yeah. It's cool to watch.
Sorry to interrupt.
No, I'm just fucking around. This guy, look, I love people. And this guy just sent me a message. Move on. You're being a bitch to Brian Callen. Hey, fuck you, white horse. White Knight.
Thank you, White Horse.
I don't want to say your name, dummy.
Callen,
people are so gross, man. They can't even take people fucking with you. You gotta stay. I gotta put my foot down. I gotta say my thing. I'm gonna talk now. You should stop what you're doing. You should be nicer.
I finally watched Hangover 2. That was your role in that was really good.
Thank you, sir.
Are you in Hangover 3 also?
I was offered a part in Hangover 3, and I was doing a movie called Ride Along, so I couldn't do it.
Let's be honest. Hangover 2 was a fucking terrible movie.
It was really, really bad.
I didn't see the whole thing.
It wasn't a movie.
I paid for it. I watched the whole thing, and it
was rough. Dude, I'll say this. This movie, Ride Along, I did with Kevin Hart. That guy's the funniest. He kills me. He fucking kills me. I'm trying to do a scene with him. Every single time he'd do something that made me laugh. Like, he just does shit out of nowhere where you're just like, this guy, he's going to be something, man. He's
already something.
He already is. And he's such a fucking good guy. Do you know him?
No, I don't know him at all.
He's such a fucking good human being.
That's awesome.
Like, he's just Kevin Hart is a classic example of, he's just a great human being, man. It's like the kind of person you're so happy is successful because he's such a fucking great guy. I'm being very dramatic, but I really mean it.
Were you there during the taping at the same time that Brody got some kind of like blowjob from a man girl?
Well, that never happened, but I was there and I was telling Brody.
It never happened?
I don't think so, because I was there.
But Brody talks about it. Is he lying?
Oh, maybe it wasn't when I was there, but we were at the Ladyboy thing. And I said to him, I said, Brody, if you take that girl home, even though it's a guy, it does not make you gay. Because that's the best looking chick I've ever seen.
So did he or didn't he?
He says he did.
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, he gets really emotional about it.
Okay, maybe. I don't know.
You just weren't there with him the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, what are you saying? All right. Wow, Brody might be full of shit. Brody might be crazy.
No.
No, that's not something you'd want to lie about.
Yeah, it is. It's a good story. If he's like, I need a new 10 minutes.
But I wasn't with him the whole time.
I'm just talking about a dude sucking my dick.
Yeah.
There's a lot of dudes with stories about dudes sucking their dicks. Think about it. Stanhope had a nice one. Yeah. That was a nice story about it. Who else had one?
I think it's the fourth Norton. Moon of showing your dick at a comedy club. You know how like guys all show their dicks at the comedy clubs? I think that's the next stage.
People don't know that, but it's not all comedy clubs. It's just the store.
Is that?
Yeah. I've never seen anybody's dick anywhere else.
Oh, at the Funny Bone, I saw a few willies.
Really?
Yeah.
In Columbus?
Yeah, and think how gross that is. You're at the Funny Bone.
It was in the bathroom, obviously.
Yeah, it was in his mouth.
Exactly.
No, in the Comedy Store, I saw everybody pull their dick out. But Ari got in trouble for pulling his dick out on HBO. Like, you can't just pull your dick out places.
No,
people get really
exposure.
Upset about that shit.
Exposure, yeah.
But Ari had a really funny bit where he pulled his dick out at the end, dropped his pants, and pulled his cock out.
Didn't Jim Norton?
It's really funny. He was for Jim Norton show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but apparently he didn't tell them that he was going to do it.
Is he holding? Has he got a piece on him?
He's got balls.
He's got giant balls.
Yeah.
Well, that's not...
His dick's normal. I mean, it would probably be impressive if his balls were tiny. If his balls were like little marbles, he'd be like, the size of his cock.
Yeah,
but because his balls are preposterous.
Strange.
Yeah. It looks Star Wars-y.
Really?
Somewhere in his family must have been a whole herd of sluts. Because the size of a human's balls apparently are directly proportionate to the amount of promiscuous females in your area.
Wow.
Yeah, that's why humans and chimps have such giant nuts, but gorillas have little tiny ones.
Wow.
Because gorillas just run shit. They have little dicks, and they're giant. So they get like a few bitches, and they're like, stay here, I got you. Yeah. And then he fucks them. But because there's no competition, because they're so giant and so dominant, there's no competition with like these women fucking other men.
Right.
Their balls stay little, and their dicks are little. But like chimps... You can't hold a chimp bitch in check. Those bitches are freaks. They're out there in the fucking trees banging dudes behind your back and banging people and they'll bang anything.
Did I ever tell you, I was in Indonesia and I helped rehabilitate orangutans. Did I ever tell you the story?
Yeah, you did. Yeah.
Where orangutan adolescents will try to rape a female
human
female.
Oh, yeah.
So you have to be careful around them because they'll grab you and they'll pull your pants off.
Well, don't females in heat, won't they try to mate with males as well?
I don't know. I saw there was a lot of sexual activity because I was around them constantly. They were always like licking each other. And,
let's go to the clubs.
And then fucking we watched one rape a the older adolescents will steal the little kids, and they'll you know, not humans but the orangutans who are like three, and pull them up in a tree and rape them.
Oh my
and,
God.
And we watched one rape a fucking chicken. Under a house, it was fucking a chicken, yeah. Masturbating and trying to fuck the chicken and looking for the hole.
It's when we were talking about this on the podcast the other day, that we're lucky that human beings can't breed with other animals, because if they did, there would be a human / everything all over the world. Monkeys, giraffes, zebras.
Right.
Did you ever see Humanzi?
No.
You ever see Humanzi?
Yeah.
It's a documentary about a chimp that was a freak chimp that would walk on two legs and looked like a hybrid, and it terrified people because they thought for the longest time, before genetics were really – pull it up because it'll freak people out. For the longest time before they, you know, really got a grip on genetics, they thought that this was a human chimpanzee hybrid. You got to see its face. That's not it.
That's crazy.
You got to see its face because it didn't have much hair on its face. It looked – that's not it. It look just pull out Humanzi, not chimp rapes a frog, you fuck.
But they do that. See what it's doing?
Yeah, no, they do. That's a Humanzi. Spell it right, you fuck. Z-E-E. Humanzi, like a chimpanzee, but Humanzi.
All over the chimp?
Yes, it was all over the chimp. that was what this family, look at it.
Oh, yeah.
It's so creepy. Look at it walk upright. Hangs out with people and was in love with this woman. Look how weird its face is.
Yeah.
There was something wrong with it genetically, or it had some strange variation.
Yeah.
But it was, especially when it was young, it really resembled a human being.
Oh, look at him there.
As it got older, it got more and more chimp-like and got hairier. But when it was younger, and apparently like was madly in love with the woman, and like that's when it became a problem. Like he was trying to fuck the woman all the time.
Yeah, well, a huge male chimp is no joke, man.
Not only that, they want pussy. You know, they want something.
That's right.
Like, why you don't have any chimps around here for me?
They have moods.
Yeah.
They fly into rages. They get colds. And they feel like shit.
They have genetic, like, signals that are going off left and right that are trying to give them the reward for breeding. Like, it's firing at full force. And then you have no outlet for that. That's just bananas.
Yeah, it's
bananas. That's completely crazy. That's like what they do with tigers when they cage them. And they wonder why they pace back and forth and back and forth. You're sliding a tray of meat under the door. You're not giving it anything to kill. Like, this whole thing is designed to kill things. That's why it moves so fast. That's why it has giant claws. It's so it can kill things. So when it kills things, it gets this orgasm-like rush of endorphins and in this reward from nature, because you're not just surviving, you're doing what you're programmed to do. Mm-hmm. You're not like chasing these animals out of desperation. You roll a fucking ball in front of a cat and they'll dive on it. They're doing it for the thrill.
Mm-hmm.
So you're taking away all the thrill out of life just so you could stare at them.
Right. I hate that. That's why I don't like zoos, by the
way. I wonder if there would be a tiger-human combo, if a person could fuck a tiger.
They
would
figure out a way to do it. Well, as they cross-pollinate DNA, that's very possible.
No, I mean, hold it down and fuck it. I think what they would have to do is they would have to just net it. It would be one dude who was a bad motherfucker who wanted a tiger to carry his baby, wanted to make, like, tiger people. They thought that was, like, the next level. And he would have to, like, they would have to, like, it would have to be, like, a whole village would be involved. You'd have to get rocks and hide in the trees.
How would you get it up for a tiger? That's kind of weird.
You'd get it up if you were a freak.
Yeah, I guess if you're a
freak. If you're into fucking animals,
yeah,
there's dudes who are into fucking animals.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. So you'd have to, like, get the net, drop the net down, like, with giant boulders, and then everybody would have to move in somehow, and you'd have to hold this fucker down.
This is such a stone conversation.
People? Yeah. Before they had, like, drugs to drug, we didn't want to drug the woman tiger, because then when the baby's going to come out all fucked up, not only is it half person, it's retarded.
Depends on if Pfizer's got some drugs that can...
Maybe. But yeah. This is Pfizer. We're talking about 2,000, 3,000 years ago, right, when you had to use curare and shit. You had to poison them into like a half state of paralysis and then stick your dick in them. I wonder if anybody's ever fucked a tiger. Throughout human history, there's got to be one dude who
there's
fucked
no
a tiger.
Way that somebody who has shot a tiger hasn't tried to, at least one person.
Oh, once it's dead.
Yeah.
That doesn't count. That's not real.
You can't fuck a tiger.
But
you
everybody
have to have a breeding. It have to be in a breeding like they have for pit bulls.
Mm.
When they breed them, they have to. It's like a breeding mount,
Yeah, like back them up into like some stocks.
It's a contraption. Yeah. It's like a stock.
But people looking at that Humanzi, you could clearly see why people would think that that was some sort of a hybrid.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a freaky looking thing. When you see him,
it looks so real.
And
it's
when
like
he's
so human.
Walking on two legs and he's walking around and he's just hanging out with people and he's got that weird hairless face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nobody questioned it. Nobody was like, it's impossible. No one would fuck a chimp. They immediately thought, somebody fucked a chimp. Yeah. It was like right away because they know what our capabilities
are. Well, that woman in Connecticut who lost her face, the owner would take baths with that chimp and drink wine out of long-stemmed glasses.
Yeah.
She was flung in it.
Yeah, she let that chimp fuck her.
I will guarantee.
I think so. And I think that's why the other chimp killed that bitch, because that chick probably tried to cock block. She was probably cock blocking.
She changed her hair that day. She had her hair done, and she came, and the chimp was it's a fucking male, 200-pound fucking adult chimp. So guess what? It's called the very dangerous wild animal. My buddy Kieran's a stunt man. Goes, the only thing I don't... I said, what's the scariest stunt? He goes, anything with chimpanzees. I don't mess with them. That's what he said. He does everything. Fighting, falling, motorcycles, chimps. Yeah.
Dude, fuck all that.
If they grab a hold of you... You know, you're going to lose a nose at least before somebody gets to you. And chances are you're going to lose half your face.
Ugh.
Or your balls. Or your balls. Or your dick.
You know, we were talking earlier about New Guinea.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of those tribes that believe that the young boys have to ingest semen?
Yes.
How do you know how prevalent that is?
It's also in the islands. What is it? Where it's called widow strangling, where if your husband dies, they strangle the widow, and she'll call to her brothers to do it. If her brothers aren't around, her son does it. Yeah, I think it's the Solomon Islands or the Governor Islands or something out in near Papua New Guinea or something.
What's the point in that? Why do they strangle her?
It's a very isolated culture where some psycho came up with an idea, and people took it as tradition, and they would do it. It's dumb shit, because when you've got a group of people that have had no contact with the outside world for millennia, you get these really weird, strange customs that will actually stick. And they can be as crazy as widow strangling. By the way, what is it in India in the turn of the century, where if a woman was – if her husband was dead, she would be burned – what was it called? As a sort of a sacrifice. It's called... Fuck, what is the name?
Is that like Viking style? They'd throw them on the...
She'd be on a pile of wood and they would and she would burn. And they would burn her. No offense to anybody who's Indian. It was a Hindu tradition, I think. It was... And I can't remember what it was, but there's a word for it. It was practiced commonly in certain parts of India. And all I'm saying is that in every culture has very, very sort of rather dreadful ideas of what they call culture.
Yeah, it's just amazing.
And we evolve
when
as human
sticks.
Beings. Yeah,
it's amazing. When
the Soviets got to Afghanistan, they when a girl was born, a lot of times there was no time or use for a girl in that village, and they would just throw them off cliffs. The infants.
They would throw them
off. Throw them off cliffs. And that's one of the things the Soviets said. They're like, this is fucking nuts. Look at what just happened. There's a videotape going all over the world. The Afghan tribe where the woman who was considered a beautiful girl, everybody liked her. She was married. Some Taliban commander captures her, takes her off, rapes her, and apparently somebody else did as well. They had a big meeting. They went and rescued her, the husband's friends. They killed the guy. They brought the girl back. They decided she had to either marry the guys that she was one of her attackers, or she probably committed adultery, so we're going to shoot her. So the husband took a machine gun and shot her about 6 times. Her family came, collected the body, and that's how you did it. And that's how you do it still in certain parts of Afghanistan in those backward villages. Human beings have always done, when they're ignorant and they're not exposed to the right way of doing things, they've always done things like that, and they still do things like that.
But it's amazing that it coexists with the internet, that it coexists with...
The good thing
watching is watching the History Channel is going on at the same time.
Well, but the great thing is in this gang rape in India that everybody's talking about, what happened was gang rapes in India have been going on forever, and the cops never really prosecute them, and the cops look very bad. When this woman was raped with her friend, they and assaulted with a metal bar, she was bleeding so badly they threw them out naked out of the car. It took 25 minutes before the cops came. The cops then argued for 40 minutes about who had jurisdiction. The cops didn't want to touch her because she was bleeding too much, so the friend had to put her in there. They get to the hospital. They still had to wait in the waiting room, and then, of course, she died. But this is not an uncommon thing. What happened when that word got out in India for the first time was young college students started tweeting and organizing mass rallies, saying, this has been going on for way too fucking long. It's always been you'd get a choice. Another girl in India who was raped, there was a choice. This is in the lower – this is like not – this is people who are not as educated, but the girl had a choice. Marry your attacker, marry one of your attackers, or don't press charges. It was, somehow the woman is to blame. And what's happening in these societies and all these societies is they're modernizing, like you said, because they have access to information. Young people who are educated are going, this is bullshit. This makes our country look terrible. This is unacceptable. It's been going on too long. And that's one of the great things about the internet, I think.
Yeah, it's one of the greatest things about the internet. Yeah. But it's just, what is it about people that allows them to do something like a gang rape? How does that happen? Well, they said that one of the young guys who was raping was reaching into her body and pulling out her intestines.
There you go.
With his hand.
There you go.
I mean, that's fucking unbelievably evil.
It's unbelievably evil. It's been going on. That's what men do when they get in groups and they're fucking sociopaths or in a gang.
How do you get that many of them together that are that crazy?
But you come from and I'm not saying it's Indian culture, you come from a part of the world, whether it's your village or whether it's your family, where women are treated as chattel or dogs or less than human. And that's what happens. That's why we have examples of that from the beginning of time.
It's just amazing that cultures can degrade to that point, that somehow or another you can get to the point where you can have gang rapes on a regular basis. It's a common thing, you know, or this New Guinea thing. Like, it's even more crazy than gang rape.
There are countless examples of that, you know.
No, it's not. Problem, it's not, because it's like, I guess, I don't know. It's crazy. They're both crazy.
The problem with male-dominated societies, actually, if you look at male patriarchal societies, the problem with them is that they tend to be they will always keep women in a certain place. And if women try to get out of that place, the problem is solved a lot of times with violence. But I've also been thinking, and I don't have the data on this, but patriarchal societies dominated by men, usually are always at war with either someone or themselves. There's a lot of violence in society.
Well, okay.
Like that.
Well, what society isn't patriarchal?
The United States, I think, for the most part, comparison is a country that at least has dialogue about equal rights, glass ceilings. Women are in positions of power, have been for a long time. They were given the vote, in 1934 with the suffragette movement.
That was a mistake.
Yeah, right. but that's
kidding.
That's always been Europe, for that matter, the liberal
right,
democracies
of Europe.
Right, but
there's still, I would say, there's still an inequality. If
Very
you just
much
looked
so.
At it on paper,
sure.
As far as wealth, prestige, power, influence
sure.
between men and women.
The important thing is that we're talking about it. The important thing right. is that there's people know what's right versus what's wrong.
Do you know why we're talking about it?
The internet?
No, we don't have prostitution. If we had legalized prostitution, we would just
agree with you on that.
We're like, God damn it, why are we arguing about this shit?
Jesus Christ, can't
why,
you?
Why I'm arguing? I'm trying to make you happy, someone's
just,
my little sex junkie.
It's
just
it
a girl who
Rhode
wants.
Island?
It's a girl who wants help with her rent. That's all it is.
What'd you say?
Isn't prostitution legal in Rhode Island?
No, I don't think so.
No.
Somebody told me the yesterday.
No,
I don't. No, I don't, unless it's a new law, I don't
unless
think so.
Indian casino.
Why don't you Google it? I know that it's legal in Carson City, or not Carson City, Nevada. I think it's Clark County.
Yeah.
One of those counties. But it's not the Vegas county, oddly enough.
I know. It's not weird.
It's out in the
you
middle of
drive
nowhere.
Out, I guess.
Yeah, like when we went to the Bunny Ranch, we filmed some. We went to the Bunny Ranch when I was doing the man show, and I played Pretty Woman for them. And we had them all talk about the scenes in Pretty Woman and what the scene meant to them. And
that's so funny.
Dude. It was legal up to 2009.
Really?
And can you imagine they just lost the best thing
Island?
And we just
Rhode
found
Island?
Out about it in
Prostitution
Rhode Island.
Prostitution was legal?
Yeah.
What's wrong with you, Rhode Island? In
why didn't 2009, I know that? Why didn't I know that?
Why wasn't that the best spring break place ever?
I was there in 2008. What the fuck? Nobody even told me shit.
Apparently porn stars have to turn tricks a lot more now because they're not making as much money making movies.
I heard a girl describing that in an interview. She's at one of the girls who used to do porn, and now she was at the Bunny Ranch. And they were talking about that to a lot of them, it's no different. That she said it's porn is just like one big brothel. It's just they film it. This way, it's like you're doing the same thing, but you don't film it. Like, those guys aren't my boyfriend that I'm having sex with. So that was her justification of it. Huh. It was really strange to read, because she was talking about her boyfriend that she lives with, and that for someone, like, they were asked her, do you do overnights? Because I guess overnights are when a hooker stays the whole night with you, just maul her all night. She goes, well, it would have to be a lot of money to keep me away from the man that I love.
Jesus.
And I'm like, whoa, hello. Like, what kind of... Wow, what an odd place to be. That's such strange thinking.
Yeah.
Unusual thinking.
I don't know, man.
Yeah. Could you imagine if that you were that guy and you just sitting at home because you're a lazy fuck and
somebody's
you don't have a job.
Coming in your girlfriend's mouth?
Everywhere. Her ass, her mouth. The guy's paying like $5,000. He's raw dogging her face. You know?
You know he is.
Yeah, she's sucking his balls while he's jerking off, looking in her eyes.
Yeah, no, that's not
the whole deal.
I just don't want to make out with you after that.
Everything
for about
and everything.
A year.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's nothing wrong with it if he likes it and she likes it. But if you're, you know.
Yeah, some people get off on it.
You're trying to pretend that you'll.
People get off on it.
Your girlfriend's just working.
Yeah.
She ain't just working. She's getting paid to do something that, you know, a lot of people do for free.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing when you're agreeing to have sex with someone that you don't want to have sex with, and you're doing it over money.
Like, or she does want to
have sex.
There's
nothing wrong with it. There's nothing wrong with it. But there's a reason why it's looked upon weirdly. It's because it does sort of bypass the whole social system that's in place that's sort of kind of designed to make people be nice to each other. Like, the reason why sex is, like, people like having sex with you is they like you. They like you, so that it gives you incentive to be nice to them, to be a person that they want to be around. They want to give you affection. You want to give them affection. It becomes mutual. And then for some people, it's just like, I don't have time for that. I just want to give you some money, and then I fucking treat you like shit and spit in your mouth. And like,
that's love.
This Rhode Island place, by the way, is my new destination when time travel becomes legal. Because now it's also, you could be 16 to be like a stripper or a prostitute back in 2009.
16?
That was the age of consent, was 16.
Wow.
So there's all these 16-year-old hookers in Rhode Island, and none of us knew about Rhode Island in 2009 for some reason.
Wow.
That's so
16.
Nuts.
That's dark.
I couldn't do that because I'd have to. I'd have to keep that a secret.
Up.
I don't want any secrets.
Keep it a secret. That's too fucked up, man.
No, not 16.
Rhode Island's a weird place. I used to do a lot of gigs in Rhode Island.
Is it super small, or what's the deal?
Yeah, it's tiny. I think it's the tiniest state in the union. It's is it? Yeah, it's really little, man. You could drive through it in a couple hours.
Rhode Island.
I did a lot of gigs there.
Isn't Rhode Island where Whitey Bulger ran the underground?
No, that was South Boston.
South Boston.
Yeah,
isn't that crazy?
He ran
Whitey
that
Bulger
while
ran
I was
the
there.
Underground, and his brother was the mayor.
Not only no
governor.
No. His brother was some other big time politician, but more importantly, he was an FBI informant the entire time. So he was ratting out all these other bad people and then getting them killed. Like, if they would turn on him, they would say, hey, this guy's about to testify against you. And he could kill them. Like, the FBI would warn him so that he would keep giving them people to arrest. You know, so they were in business together. And the FBI would look the other way if he was selling drugs or if he was doing certain things, even murder. They looked the other way for murder. It's really unbelievably fucked up. When you look at the whole story about how complicit the FBI was.
Why
I mean,
they
really,
made a movie about that?
The Departed was sort of an artistic rendition of it. It wasn't really accurate. They had some artistic license they used, but it was sort of a lot of it was
about.
And
then he was on the lam for like 30 years, huh?
In Santa Monica, man.
Santa
he was
Monica.
Living in Santa Monica. And they found him because of his wife. His girlfriend, his mouthy bitch.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, you know, they'd fight and yell and scream at each other, apparently. And people were looking into them because of that, because they would like violently yell at each other.
Yeah. Apparently, he would like they'd be talking, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, he'd go, "All right, let's go. Come on, let's get out of here. I'm tired of this." Like, he would just fly off the handle.
Well, he probably was really bored.
Yeah.
The guy ran a crime empire forever, and then all of a sudden, he's hanging out with some crazy bitch in an apartment.
Yeah.
And you know, you got to pretend to be Sam Smickenheimer or whatever the fuck you are now.
I think a lot of criminals, that's true. That's like the biggest thing is the juice.
Yeah. He should have went to Mexico. Should have went gangster, Dawn Till Dusk style.
Yeah.
You know, why stay in Santa Monica? They'll let you into Mexico.
Weather's nice.
Come on, son.
Yeah.
Get out of here. You got to go to Mexico. Should have went to Mexico.
Yeah.
Get a nice place near Cabo. Blend right in. Get a tan. Shave your head. Nobody knows what the fuck you are.
It's true.
Medical marijuana in Rhode Island from starting at 2006. So 2006 to 2009, let's all meet there when Time Machines
well, Colorado's are. Got their first clubs, right? Pot clubs now?
Well, they're about to open one, but it doesn't say anything about smoking pot in a public place. The law does not allow that. So
you can't drink in a public place either, right?
Of your own home. So. Yeah, you can at bars, but they don't have licenses for, like, it's a situation. So what it's going to be is, like, you're going to have to get a membership. That's how they do in certain states. They have that with booze. There was certain states.
Utah, you have to. That was
no, it wasn't thing. Utah. It wasn't just Utah. Where was it? North Carolina, maybe? I forget. But it was back in the day. You had to go to a club. There were certain clubs, like after a certain time at night, and you could go there, but you had to pay for a membership. Like they had like cigars, and I think one of them even had strippers, and you had to like be a member. You had to, like, pay because there was law. So the way to get around the law is to make it private. Mm. So everybody becomes a member. You go there, you give your ID, you fill out your name and your address. You give them $20 or whatever the fuck it is. The guy gives you a key. Now you're a member.
Wow.
It's, like, silly. It's the silliest shit ever. But that's the only way to do it.
Right.
They had to, like, skirt around the law. So what they're going to do with this Colorado thing is they're going to make it so that you, you know, you're a member and you go there and then you could all smoke weed together. But someone's going to fuck that up. The real problem with it is that it's only two states and it's not federal yet. I hope this is the beginning, but I hope that it's not fuel for blowback. I hope that they don't fuck it up somehow. And you also have to be careful of agent provocateurs and all sorts of different people that are going to try to – if the DEA was smart and they wanted to keep that business going, and I know that there's people in the DEA that are smart, and I know there's people in the DEA that want to keep that business going. One of the things they do is they
keep
infiltrate and they
going?
Go into the business of arresting people for selling drugs. As soon as drugs become legal, there's a whole lot less jobs for that's DEA right. people. So that's what the lobby's about. That's what the –
it's also a whole lot less people in jail.
Prison guard lobby also lobbies very hard sure. to make sure that people don't make drugs illegal. Mm-hmm. But – one of the things that undercover cops and undercover DEA guys have done is force people to buy and sell much more than they really needed. Like there's a guy that's in jail. There was a big article about it in Rolling Stone magazine. And this DEA guy was undercover, turned out to be a junkie himself, went to rehab after he quit the force and was actually discharged. He was fired because of impropriety. Set this guy up, asked this guy to get him some weed and gave him some money for it and then said, listen, man, you know, I can get you, you know, $100,000 if you can get me some coke and, you know, I need this amount of weed and this amount of coke. And the guy's like, I can't do that. And he goes, look, I'll set you up with the people. It's cool, man. Trust me. I just need you to, like, you know, dot all the I's and, you know, cross all the T's.
Oh, shit.
And you're going to make all this money. So he literally set up the whole fake.
It's just entrapment.
Yeah, it's complete total entrapment. Not only that, the guy was like 19 years old. So dumb, young.
Yeah, I would have done the same thing. $100,000. I mean,
living in the South.
Making it that easy.
Uneducated, dumb, young, living in Georgia.
And this guy gets off on sending him to jail.
He's in jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He's in jail for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And he was just a young kid that was, yep. he thought he was going to sell a dude who had already sold weed to. Thought he'd just sell him some more weed.
Hey, man, you made the world safer there. Yeah. Let me tell you.
It's unbelievable how they can sort of just rope kids in. And they do it like. How could you do that to a teenager? I mean, how could you pretend that you're serving and protecting? How can you pretend that you're doing anything that's like trying to keep people safe? You're just like, you found a hole through the system and it hasn't been made illegal yet.
I hope that's a hard case. I hope that's a rare case that you're talking about.
I hope it is too, but I don't think it is. I think it's pretty common that people get set up. I think it's pretty fucking common.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they find out you're growing and selling large amounts of blow, you're fucking. You're
it's not just
fire,
that.
You know?
There was a kid who was arrested in Florida. He was 17 years old. He was an honor roll student. He was arrested by an undercover cop who pretended to be his girlfriend.
I remember that.
Dude.
Yeah.
She's 25 years old and hot. Okay.
Yep.
Hot.
Yep.
And this dirty twat, she got close to this kid and he wanted to give her the weed for free as a gift because she asked him to get her weed. He wanted to give it to her for free. Like, I got it for you. She's like, no, you got to have the money. Please take the money. So he takes the money. Boom. He's arrested.
What an asshole. Like, she's a sociopath.
She's just a raging cunt. And she thought she was just doing her job. She's doing her job. He's an honor roll student, okay? No weed in the system. He wasn't a drug dealer in any way, shape, or form. He just met a girl, and he was in love with her. Why? And one of the reasons why he was in love with her is because he probably understood that she was a woman. It probably was confusing.
Fucking 17.
25.
When you got a 25-year-old, that's the holy grail. Mm-hmm. You'll do anything.
Well, he didn't know she was 25.
I'll cut my pinky off.
He didn't
whatever.
Know. He didn't
she was
know
probably
she was
fucking him.
But she was
teasing him.
She was so powerful. That's the amount of influence that a 25-year-old woman.
You'll do anything.
Woman,
you're in love.
Yeah. The amount of influence a 25-year-old woman has over a 17-year-old boy is fucking staggering.
Of course.
I mean, that's like, she's like a wizard.
Of course.
She got this poor fucking kid to go
to a drug
dealer.
There was kind of a backlash, wasn't there, about that?
Oh, yes, of course. But nobody got arrested. Nobody lost their job. It was called like Operation D-minus or something like that. Something stupid. Dumb cunts. 21 Jump Street. Fucking
bullshit.
So stupid, man. It's the idea that your tax
dollars. Well, I think Mexico now is dealing with the violence of the drugs.
Yeah.
I think the underwritten law is, look, you can sell drugs. Stop fucking cutting heads off and leaving them in squares.
Well, it's all because it's illegal. So, I mean, exactly. The same thing that happened in the 1920s with alcohol.
Yeah, that's right.
It's the same fucking
thing. When it's illegal, it's going to attract those kinds of people. Those kinds of people that are willing to kill, like, you know,
yeah,
anybody they have to.
Do you watch Boardwalk Empire?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
Good show.
I'm obsessed right now in watching. I'm on my fourth season of Breaking Bad, and that's a mind blowing show to me.
It's a mind blowing show. You know what's just as good? Homeland.
I hear.
Oh,
I've seen five episodes. I'm waiting to watch.
That's
my next
Claire
one.
Claire Danes is a badass bitch.
Yeah.
She is fucking badass.
Yeah.
That chick can act her fucking ass off. She might be the best female actor on the planet Earth.
Really?
Yeah. I would say. I got my money on that crazy bitch.
Wow.
Especially if she's playing crazy. Dude, she gets an A+, five
stars. Don't tell me, because that's my next.
Dude.
That's my next thing.
She is fucking badass.
There is some
badass.
Fucking great TV out there.
There is now. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what's going on. Why is there so much good stuff?
I think because movies are so impossible to make.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, you can't get money for them. You can never get the actor you want. You can't do anything. It's corporate, you know, but the money speaks, and that's what counts. And so you want to do a movie, and you have this great actress in mind, like Claire Danes, and they go, no, it has to be Heather Graham because she's popular overseas. And you're like, what the fuck am I doing? So all the talent has moved to TV. People are like, I'm going to make TV. Fuck film.
It's also impossible. When you do a film, you got to go somewhere for 6 months, and it sucks, and
oh,
you're working
God.
All day. At least if you're doing a TV show.
And then nobody will watch. You get one shot, and the bad reviews, you're fucked, right?
Yeah. If you're doing a TV show, you can film it somewhere. You go somewhere, and you get a house there, and you're, you know, maybe this is your new place where you live, but at least you can have a home.
Right.
You know, when these people that like Kevin James, I talked to him. He's like 6 months in one hotel, six mm-hmm. months in another hotel. Mm-hmm. He stays in hotels for months.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
I just did it. I was just in at the Lowe's in Atlanta.
Wow.
It's not good.
It's not fun.
Even if you're staying in a suite, it's never what you
Yeah, do. I don't mind, like, when I do gigs on the road, I stay in a hotel for a weekend, and then I go back home. That's fine. That's easy. But that 6 months shit, that shit's for the birds.
No way.
People don't realize that a weird lifestyle that the acting
I always say, if people saw how movies are really made, People Magazine and Us Magazine, they'd all be out of business. Because it's not as glamorous. It's you're literally shooting a page a day, maybe, which means you're doing the same thing over and over again. And it's just not.
Well, if it's a great movie, though, it's really fun. Like,
yeah.
Which wasn't a great movie, but the movie Zookeeper that I did, the little kids movie with Kevin,
yeah,
it was fun because I like Kevin. He's fun, and it was a fun movie to do.
Yeah.
It was fun. We were silly.
Well, if you're around comedians, by the way, it's great.
Yeah.
You can also be around a bunch of actors. Like one of the guys I did the movie with, I didn't tell you this. One of the guys, I won't say his name, but I did the movie with Ride Along. He had just been in Lincoln with Daniel Day-Lewis. On that set, Daniel Day-Lewis, he spoke to Daniel Day-Lewis. You know what he talked about? Current events in 1865. Okay, that's everybody referred to
Wait
him as Mr. President.
So he was completely in character.
And that
so
whole
all
that
would
whole
talk
place,
about was
dude,
current events.
That set was quiet unless Spielberg was talking to the actor. It was quiet from what I hear. Keep it. You can keep your wig, your character, and your fucking movie.
Your mole.
I got no attention span anyway, so I would have been fired immediately because I would have been fucking around the whole time.
Yeah.
I'm not into acting. I just want to hang out and get paid and be a silly goose.
Yeah, you don't want to do like serious work.
Oh, man.
Serious work.
By the way, I had such a good time on this thing, but you know Ice Cube. He's a great guy.
Yeah.
Lawrence Fishburne, who happens to be a fan of yours. Did I tell you this?
Yeah, you did.
Loves
That's
you.
Crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah, that was cool. It was good. Then I got to eat dinner with Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, you told me
that's
that
pretty
too.
Cool.
That seems pretty strange.
I was with John Leguizamo, and he goes, "Just stick around. Somebody's coming on." He comes by with his assistant, sits down, has a little cup of butternut squash soup, and I talk to him about California politics.
Now he's doing another version of Conan.
No.
Yeah, yeah, he's gonna do Conan again.
Old Conan?
Yeah, old Conan. See, there was Robert E. Howard, the guy who wrote Conan, mm-hmm. wrote Conan through his whole life.
He
wrote
died,
Conan
died
as a young man.
Committed suicide at 30.
No, I mean Conan wrote Conan's life from a young man to an old king.
Right.
Yeah. So he's gonna do the old king version, and he's gonna go and you know and play Conan towards the end, because that was like in. Like a lot of the older books, some of the best books, in
great
fact,
books. Yeah.
Some of the not the older books, the more recent books before he ended it, yeah. ended it in his 30s, yeah.
Yeah,
but he had written about Conan as being, you know, a king sitting on the throne,
yeah,
and forced back into action again.
Right.
In his, I believe he's in his 60s.
Yep, I remember. I remember that. Yeah. I read every book that he ever. I
did
loved,
you really?
Every single book Robert E. Howard ever wrote.
Yeah, I wrote a lot. I read a lot of his stuff. The Crawl the Conqueror and all that other
Conan
shit.
Conan the Usurper.
Too. Yeah, yeah.
They were actually amazing books, because especially the way they would open, you just have this description of this giant with smoldering blue, volcanic blue eyes, just cutting a path of crimson through all these sort of these orcs or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he would just stand there, and there was one survivor, and he would stand there, and he looked up at the giant with his black dreaded hair just covered in blood, dreaded in his eyes, and he's like, "Who are you?" And you just, he'd always answer the same way. He'd go, "I am Conan, a Sumerian." You're like, holy fuck.
The writing was really good.
Oh, it was the first time I ever read something. I was like, holy shit. And it's just such a disappointment in my life that I'm 5'11", 170.
Well, that's because you don't do anything about it.
I lift weights.
I've worked out with you.
And I fucking...
There's a level of intensity that you need to come to.
Dude, are you kidding me? You want to fuck around? Anybody want to touch this?
The interesting thing about Robert E. Howard is he stayed at home. He was kind of a shut-in. He was like a really weird guy.
Yep, he was. He was also a sickly guy, I think.
Yeah.
Little...
Well, that's why I wrote about this guy who was invincible. This guy with insane genetics.
Yeah.
Who just cut people down with swords.
The way
he
would describe
brave.
His body, too. Yeah. Like the muscular. And stuff.
Did you ever see the Vincent D'Onofrio movie where he played Robert E. Howard?
No.
Yeah, I forget what it's called. I never saw it. I'll look it up right now.
Wow.
Apparently it's pretty good. A lot of people don't know who Robert E. Howard is. It's really kind of interesting.
Well, you know, Conan.
The new Conan, the guy looked really good. He looked like he was a pretty good Conan.
Yeah.
But the movie sucked, the fat one.
I didn't see it.
And it's too bad, because the whole wide world is the name of the movie.
He really does look... That guy's Samoan. He's... I've met him a couple times.
I think he's Hawaiian.
Is he?
A lot of Polynesians. Yeah. And
he's a big, striking guy, man.
Yeah, he's
in
gigantic.
In real life, he's just fucking... like, you're like, Jesus. He looks like he does look like a cartoon character.
Yeah, he came to the UFC way back before Conan came out, because the UFC was sponsoring the movie. And or the movie rather was sponsoring the UFC, so we interviewed him and shit. The guy was like a legit giant.
How about
6'5"?
How about Cain Velasquez?
Incredible fight.
My buddy Kieran said to me before the fight, he goes, "I said, what's going to happen?" He goes, "I think Cain's going to maul him, and he's not going to have a chance to breathe." And I was like, "What do you mean?" He goes, "He's going to put his head in his chest, and he's just going to put a wrestling pace on him, and he's going to beat the shit out of him. He's not going to step back and reset. That's not what I tell him." Sure enough, just watching someone who's as good and powerful as Junior Dos Santos get picked up and thrown on the ground by that guy.
Well, he caught him. The big thing was not just the wrestling, because he wrestled, he got him to the ground and put him down. But, yeah, he cracked him. When he cracked him with that right hand, he hurt him bad. And he was never the same again. He never could recover. His endurance never recovered.
It says a lot about Junior Dos Santos, though, to be able to keep coming back anyway.
Oh, yeah.
And keep fighting like such a – what a stud.
No, his heart's amazing. He just got – when you get – people don't understand, like, oh, he was out of shape. Like, you don't know. When you get hit, it removes, like, all your endurance. Like, there's something crazy that happens to you when you get rocked. It's like
you
could
crawl up and die.
You could be training for 6 months. You could get up every morning and eat blueberries and run sprints up hills. But when somebody punches you in the face, you'd be like, "I can't breathe."
That's right.
It's because your system is in full panic mode. You just got hit with a piston you know, from a 240-pound Mexican. Blam! I mean, he just uncorked that shit on your chin. Your legs went wobbly. Sparks went through your brain. You're barely conscious right now. Barely conscious. So when he picks you up and then dumps you on your back, now you lost even more consciousness. Yeah. You're barely hanging on. He's thumping you in the fucking head. So at the end of the round, when the bell ends and you get up, like, you're... He was barely there.
Your head can only take so much.
Yeah. He got cracked with a couple big punches. And I was so impressed that he was still there for the fifth round. So many guys would have found a way out. So many guys would have just curled up.
It took so much character and courage to stay in there with that guy.
And he started to get a second wind. Well, on the fourth and fifth rounds, he started to get a second wind. Mm-hmm. He was starting to throw some dangerous punches. Mm-hmm. They didn't really connect clean, but man, if they did, it could have changed a lot of shit. He threw a couple left hooks. I was like, God damn, if one of those hits, we might see a totally different fight.
That's right.
That's happened. We've seen that. Brandon Schaub's last fight. Brandon Schaub's last fight, he was, I think it was his last fight, where he was fighting Big Ben Rothwell. And he cracked Big Ben Rothwell, and they were in a gunfight, and all of a sudden, boom, Rothwell uncorks his fucking big left hook, and he's down. Like, it can happen that suddenly,
especially
with heavyweights.
Well, because heavyweights have the same kind of head. I mean, you know, Brendan's head isn't that big. I always tease him because his head is normal size to his huge body. I sent him a video the other day. I was like, Brendan, listen, I can't remember what I said, but I'll actually see him tonight. But he's a 6'5", 250, and just a sick athlete. But, you know, when you get hit with a head, your head can only take so much. A 250-pound man who knows how to punch connects with your jaw. I don't give a shit who you are.
Did you see Fabio Maldonado versus Glover Teixeira? Did you see that fight? Unbelievable fight. It was in Brazil maybe 4 or 5 months ago. Anyway, Fabio Maldonado is getting mauled. Glover Teixeira is a fucking savage. He's beating the shit out of Fabio. I mean, his face is bloody and swollen, takes him down, smashing him. I mean, it's just unbelievable heart by Fabio for surviving. Glover's destroying him. Glover, in the next round, he fucks around and drops his hands. And it looks like Fabio is just a dead man. Fabio uncorks this left hook and catches him perfect on the chin. Glover's legs go like rubber, and he's like reaching forward to hang on. It's like, whoa! Like, the fight completely changed with one punch.
Yep.
That can happen,
First
man.
First of all, you're
that
not wearing gloves, basically. You're really not wearing gloves. And
not
when you
much.
Had a punch like that, one mistake, one error. That's why MMA to me is so fascinating. That's why I just love watching it so much.
Well, you ever see the Mike Russo-Todd Duffy fight?
I don't think so.
Greatest one-punch comeback in the history of sports. No doubt about it.
Really?
Todd Duffy is built like a dude who was created in a lab. I mean, he's unbelievably athletic.
Can you bring him up? Let me see.
Just a ridiculous physical specimen. Yeah. I mean, Todd Duffy's a fucking stud, okay? And he's fighting this guy, Mike Russo, who's a cop, a Chicago cop, active duty cop, okay? Maybe one of the toughest human beings on the planet. Because Todd is hitting this motherfucker with everything but the kitchen sink. And you're talking about Todd, who's a 240-pound shredded man. And he moves like a cat, and he is uncorking bombs on Russo, right? For 3 rounds, this goes on. And somehow or another, Russo survives with a broken arm.
This is the cop.
Okay, yeah. His left arm's broken. And he hits hits Todd Duffy with one punch and drops him. Todd Duffy's unconscious with one punch. Look at Duffy. Follows up and drops
a
hammer fist on him with his broken hand.
Shame about his body, huh?
Why did you show the American man from Atlantis?
Patrick Duffy.
Oh, is that his cousin?
I just saw a bald spot on my head.
Hello. Yeah, he's gigantic, man. This guy, like,
I know
in the middle of nowhere, uncorks this one punch and turns the whole fight around. Like, that can't happen in any other sport.
That's right.
And look at his chin. That dude looks like he takes a vicious beating.
Yeah, he's a stud.
So the fact that that can happen in the third round, even with a guy who's built like that, he just won. Todd Duffy just won. He looked fucking sensational.
Did he?
Yeah. He fought.
He's been good for a while. I've seen that kid fight a couple times.
Yeah. He fought this dude, Phil DeFries, who's a really good jiu-jitsu guy, and he knocked him out. He looked awesome.
It's amazing how
first fight
evolved.
Back in the UFC.
It's amazing how it's all so much evolved. You cannot just be a jiu-jitsu guy. You can't just be a boxer. You got to be everything.
Yeah, there's not a lot of room for a one-dimensional fighter
it's
anymore.
It's always changing. I was thinking about Jon Jones, and Jon Jones has got to worry about Cain Velasquez eventually, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the fight for me.
Yeah.
That's the fight.
Well, I think Cain and Daniel Cormier as well, because Cormier is going to probably wind up going down to 205. Cormier is he won at heavyweight, won the Strikeforce Grand Prix, beat Josh Barnett, which is gigantic.
How tall is Cormier? Is he long?
No, he's short.
Right.
I think he's 5'11".
It's hard to fight. When you're 5'11 fighting John Jones, I don't know, man. It's very difficult to fight 82-inch arms.
Well, he definitely has a nice advantage. It's not just John Jones' arms. It's his legs.
Yeah.
And I always talk about, like, this reach thing that we do where we measure the reach. But we took it from boxing. Right. We need to incorporate, like, leg length.
Fuck
because,
yeah.
like, a guy like John, a big part of his game is kicking you. And he kicks you from a place where you can't even touch him.
Especially when he's push-kicking and doing those, like, side kicks and shit.
Yeah.
They hurt.
And he throws that side kick to the thigh and to the body. Uh-huh. And he fucked Vitor up with that thing. He dropped him to the body with that. Yeah, that's a hard guy to get in on. But Cormier is a monster. If he can be healthy and strong at 205, first of all, his wrestling is just world fucking class. I mean, he was in the Olympics.
Yeah.
He had an issue where he tried to cut weight incorrectly to wrestle. I think he wrestled at 206, and he had kidney failure. So he's got to be real careful about the way he cuts.
Yeah.
If he's going to go down to 205, it's got to be a legit lifestyle change. It can't be him getting silly and, you know, and trying to, like, dehydrate himself.
40
again.
Pounds in 2 days. Yeah.
Yeah, well, a lot of guys do that, man. Yeah. A lot of guys do that. And they are really rolling the
Graham
dice.
Well, Graham Maynard or whatever, I mean, that guy.
Maynard does it, yeah.
He walks around at 190 or something, right?
He's big. He's a big, thick, muscular dude. You know, there's a lot of those guys.
Well, I mean, I'm talking out of school, but Cowboy was probably... When I saw him at one point, he was 191 or something like that, and he sucks down to 55. He's a big dude.
Yeah, he's tall and long, too.
Yeah.
You know, but he makes it no problem, and he can go for three rounds hard at 55. So he's not – whatever he's doing, he can, you know, he can keep doing that. It's like Benson Henderson, same thing, the champ. He loses quite a bit of weight as well, but he's very healthy and disciplined, and now he does it. So the results are, you know, when he's actually in the octagon, he can go five rounds, no problem.
By the way, guess who I'm having on my podcast?
Who?
Sugar Ray Leonard.
Ooh, that's interesting.
The Brian Callen Show. Thank
powerful,
you, Joe
powerful
Rogan.
Brian Callen Show.
Not Man Thoughts anymore.
It's called
fucking the Brian Callen Show. I was like, you know what? This Man Thought things is not that sustainable. I'm not really having me. It's just so fucking weird. And it was given to me by I love my manager, but I was like, I don't know. It's just a little too contrived. I can't be contrived. It's got to be just Brian Callen Show.
You can't ever listen to your managers when they
and
tell
I love
you
him. He's great. He's smart.
Shit.
Yeah, yeah.
But when they tell you the creative things, you got
to
go, thanks.
It just doesn't sit well with me where I feel like I'm trying to pull one over on fans, like where I'm like, it's called Man Thoughts. I'll be able to brand it. I'll be able to have my t-shirts. It'll be the man's Man Thoughts class.
What did you call it before that? Didn't you call it something else?
The Brian Callen Show.
Before that?
Nope.
No?
I called you and I was like, maybe I should call it The Questions with Brian Callen. You were like,
shut the fuck up.
Just call it. And I was trying to come up with a format for it, but I've been having fun just having conversations.
Yeah, like
I keep it to an hour.
The skeptic tank. I'm like, what is that? You're not really that
skeptical. I don't know,
because
I wish I was specific. I'm too fucking all over the place. But I'm excited about, what do you think I should ask Sugar Ray? I got a lot of questions.
Just
for
talk
him.
To him.
Yeah.
Why would you bubble gum?
Yeah, that's a good question.
What's that?
What's your favorite bubble gum?
Yeah. What's his toughest fight?
Well, you know, you'll have some good conversations with him, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it. But the good thing is that you're all over the place. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it makes these conversations so varied. That's what people love. You know, they don't want, if you were only like a history guy and you're only talking about only history, I mean, how many podcasts on history can you listen to?
Not many.
Before you're like, do you guys talk about stinky pussy ever? Is there a stinky pussy conversation to be had here?
Stinky pussy conversation?
Apparently Eddie Bravo's last one, I told you, he went on that whole stinky pussy, dirty feet, stinky foot. He has one of the greatest stinky pussy, stinky feet stories ever. About having sex with a stripper in a backseat of a car when she had a yeast infection and her feet stunk because she'd been stripping all night.
You know what's funny about that? It doesn't stop a man.
No.
You know, you're like, fuck it. Let me just hold my breath.
How many times you bang a girl and you smell shit? You smell her butt. It's like she didn't wipe it well.
Yeah,
and you look down and you can see like a little bit of shit on
it. It's happened to me. It's happened to me. And guess what?
Yeah.
Didn't affect my heart on one bit. That can be pretty gross.
Yeah. I still have a vision of this like little dab of shit that I saw on my girlfriend's ass I was like 21.
That's a huge
problem. I still
can
remember it.
You know what happened to me? You know what happened to me? I was in New York City, and I remember like meeting this girl, sexy, and then we were making out, and then we had sex, and then I turned her over, and she had a hairy ass. And I'm talking about thick black hairs, and I was like...
All over her ass?
It was all over her cheeks. It was thin, but, you know, it was there. Yeah. And then she had a real hair in the old crackaroo. Whoa. And I was like, this is like fucking a guy, and I couldn't fucking do it. I just was like, that just came to me.
How hot was she?
I haven't thought about that in a long time.
How hot was she on a 1 to 10?
Who knows? 7 for the story.
For the story, 7.
Yeah, until she turned over, and then she was a guy. And that made her, you know, not 10. Attractive. That made her a 10.
Wow. So what did she say when you...
I didn't say a goddamn thing.
No, what did she say when you sort of stopped?
I don't know. I can't remember. I just remembered this story. So if I said, I'd be making it up. But I know me. I know I probably did the old... Ah, my fucking stomach. Or, this condom's burning my dick. I'm bad with latex. I had something like that.
I gotta get out of here.
I
think I'm gonna throw up. I think I'm poisoned. I think somebody poisoned me. Look, there's been some people that have been thinking about poisoning me.
Oh, look, a hairy ass. A hairy ass. What in your fucking mind? How about looking in the mirror? Sometimes you gotta check the backside.
Well, you are my age, so you remember back in the high school days where no one ever
shaved.
Took care of their pussy.
Nobody shaved.
No one shaved.
You'd get these maws. And,
porn
and by the way,
that.
I didn't care. Yeah,
porn changed that, right? Porn
I guess
changed
it was.
That for all women.
Is that what it was?
Yes.
Porn?
Women didn't shave their pussies back then. A lot of women shaved their pussy. I mean, I don't think it's all women. I think some
a
women
lot,
are like feminists.
Most.
Holdouts.
Yeah, well,
they're like, you know, like, I don't feel like I should, you know.
Any girls getting laid is shaved.
That's untrue. There's a lot of girls out there with hairy boxes.
I like to say general things.
And dudes who just deal with it. Just take it. If it's not too bad, like what if she has naturally not that much hair?
It's fine.
Not that bad.
I don't
she's like Norwegian or some shit?
Yeah, it's fine.
From Iceland?
No
little
problem.
Tiny, thin, white hairs?
Yeah, it's fine.
Barely.
Gives a shit.
But if she's Greek?
She's a girl.
If she's Italian?
Greek women are so beautiful. You ever been to Greece? I lived there.
You lived there?
For 3 years.
Did you really?
Yeah, in Athens. And then I went to the islands. I remember the islands.
What'd you do
I went
in Greece?
To, my dad was working there. But when my... well, I went to,
how old
I
were
went
you?
To, I went. I was in 4th, 5th, and 6th grade, I think, in Greece.
Were you getting laid then?
All the time. No.
Really?
Never. But I went back to the islands, and I went to Mykonos, I remember, and I was 21 or 22, 20, and it was one of the greatest trips of my life. And I've never seen more beautiful women in my life.
Really?
In my life. Because they were Italian,
and you've
French.
You've been to Vegas.
And I've been to Vegas.
And Rhode Island.
And I've been to Vegas. And yes. Yes.
Wow. What,
Vegas, by the way, is underrated. Vegas has some of the best looking women you'll ever see.
Well, they're not really. They come from all over the world.
That's true. That's what it is.
It's like a center point for attention.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look at me. We're getting it party.
Glitzy.
We're getting it party.
Yeah.
Woo.
Glitzy shit.
I went there. When I go to Vegas, I play pool. Like, yeah, this is one of the last places where you can play pool 24 hours a day.
Wow.
Yeah, Vegas has 24-hour pool halls. Those don't really exist in most parts of the world.
Right.
They're done. It's over.
Right.
New York used to have a gang of them. L.A. had one. The last time we had one in L.A. was the L.A. earthquake.
I've never gone to Vegas for pleasure. It's always been work.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I don't gamble, you know, so.
I've gone to Vegas for fights back in the day.
Yeah, me too.
Before I
me
used
too.
To work for the
with
UFC.
You. I went
yeah.
to, yeah.
Oh, that's right. Where did we go? What did
USC.
We go to see?
USC,
it was before I was working for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in the day.
We had some fun. I remember you and I going to one. We went to one in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. When a guy named Randy Couture had his first fight, I think.
Yeah.
And I remember you and I were at the one where Randy Couture beat Vitor Belfort.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
And Vitor was like, back then.
That was when
Vitor
was like 240 pounds.
Yeah, he was putting some Lucky Charms in the cereal every morning. Fucking, I mean, here's this guy with size 8 feet.
Yeah.
At 240.
And he looked like a lion.
The color of a plum.
His neck was like a lion's
yeah,
neck.
Yeah,
it was
yeah.
Ridiculous.
He was ridiculous. He's a stud. But then I guess his trainer, who was 34 years old, died of a heart attack, I think.
This big, giant bodybuilder dude that he used to hang around with.
Yeah.
We used to call him Garden Hoses because he had these arms with veins that looked like garden hoses.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable. Like,
I
you
know.
Looked at him, you're like, how is that a human? He was
crazy.
So big.
Crazy. And he was probably
so
the
gigantic.
One helping Vitor.
Could be.
Get bodybuilder big.
Well, it's interesting, the whole debate on performance-enhancing drugs and testosterone and stuff like that. What's really interesting about it is it's jumped the fence into the women's division now.
Wow.
because you know Ronda Rousey is the women's champ.
Yeah.
They opened up 135 pounds for women now, so yeah. She's going to headline the first ever woman's first woman's fight is going to headline a UFC, and it's going to be in Anaheim. And at 135 is where she's the champ, but at 145 was that cyborg chick, the one who's built like a dude.
Yeah.
But she got popped for steroids.
Yeah.
So now they're trying to see if they can get Cyborg to drop to 135. But she's like, I can't make 135.
Where is she from?
Brazil.
Yeah, I don't like that fight for Ronda Rousey. First of all, because I love Ronda Rousey, because I have a huge crush on Ronda Rousey. Jay Moore, I did his podcast. He's like, if you were dating her, how would you date somebody you know could kick your ass? I go, I would train every single day, and in a year or 2 years, I'd figure her out, and I'm still a 170-pound man, and I would be just fine on the mat as far even as great as she is. As a guy, I'll take the beating because I love her.
Do you
her.
Think she could tap you right now?
Right now, yes.
Yeah.
I don't train. I haven't rolled. But Ronda
Rousey
is great.
How can you
great.
Walk out there living with that thought?
That's why I'm
head.
Training. That's why I just bought a bunch decided. Of mats. Are you joking me? Of course. But I gave that ghost up a long time ago. I mean, I just knew I was never going to be, you know. But
a female champion.
I just got too many friends who are fighters. I see what they can do to me, and yeah, I'm not going to be in the. I could never even Ronda to me is so pretty. I would never want to punch her in the face. She's just too hot to me.
Yeah,
and I love her.
She'd pay you back while you're sleeping.
She'd kick my foot. Yeah, that's right. You couldn't. If you cheated on her or something, I'd be so fucking... You'd have to be really worried about...
She'd break your arm.
Yeah. But
she's broken like three different chicks' arms.
Is she dating anybody?
I don't know.
Misha Tate's another one I think is adorable.
Yeah. She's got a boyfriend who's an MMA fighter.
Oh, yeah.
Brian Calloway. Really cool guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Ultimate
How's
Fighter.
She doing? How's her arm?
It's fine.
Yeah,
she's back.
I don't like seeing girls hurt each other. I hate that shit.
Yeah, well, when Ronda does it, you know where she's going to do it, too. She's the armbar assassin. She just goes for armbars.
It's hard to protect against. It's hard to get an armbar against high-level black belts, too.
Well, when she was a little girl, you know, her mother raised her, and her mother raised her to be a judo champion. Her mother was a judo champion.
Oh,
when
wow.
she was a little girl, she would wake her up and make her do armbars.
Wow.
Like, wake her up, like, catch an armbar. Here, go, get it. And she would, like, throw her hips up and throw arm like,
wow.
literally, yeah. Oh,
She's been doing it
since
she's a baby.
And there's like a fluidity and efficiency when someone is really fucking good at something mm-hmm. like that she has. Mm-hmm. Like when she swings her legs over for that shit, she's done that 100 million times.
That's right.
She just whips
it's 10,000
that leg
hours,
over.
Man. 10,000 hours.
Yeah. There's certain moves, man. It's really funny, but the way you can relate it is tying your shoes. You know how you tie your shoes? You don't think about tying your shoes. You don't think, well, I'm going to bend this, and I'm going to loop it with that, and then I'm going to go through that. Yep. You don't think about it. Yep. You just go like that, and your shoes are tied.
Yep.
Well, that's what happens with fighting, too.
Mm-hmm.
That same thing.
Yeah, when you
so
fight, even
times.
If you've been wrestling and somebody grabs you, I move to the side. I'll be working your arm. You know, you just kind of have a reaction to
it. Yeah, and with especially a lot of people have, like, pet moves.
Yeah.
You know, they have this one move. They can just hit it. You know, like Joe Lozon. Did you see the last Joe Lozon fight?
Yeah.
He's got that crazy
that was
diving
crazy.
Heel hook.
That kid's a stud.
Yeah,
he's a tough kid, man.
He's very tough.
But
so is Miller. Miller's a fucking savage.
Yeah,
man.
He's tough.
That was his best fight to date. I mean, unbelievable fight.
He is as tough as it gets. Explosive,
back
too.
Back and forth. It was crazy. It was complete insanity. What a fight. Yeah.
There's so many killers in these divisions that being a fighter is so fucking difficult. But one of the things GSP does is, I think that makes him so good is he'll find out where your strength is and just not engage that strength, you know?
Yeah, and do things that you don't expect.
Yeah.
You know, he'll
well,
he's so good at mixing up the takedowns and the
he's going to fight Nick
stand-up.
Diaz, and that's going to be a tough one for
fuck,
Nick.
Fuck, yeah, it's going to be exciting. You should come.
I will because Nick Diaz, I love
him. You want to come? It's in Montreal.
I would. When is it?
March? I'll tell you right now.
I got to make sure I'm not doing a gig.
Yeah, it's I think it's like March 15th or some shit. March 16th in Montreal. If you want, you could do a gig with me the night before.
You know what? Yeah, because I have to be in. Wait, March 16th.
Yeah.
Hold.
Eddie, if by the
March
way,
March what?
On
March what? What is it?
March 16th, and we could do a theater together on the 15th.
Oh, dude, that's great. Okay, I'm
you
pretty sure
it?
I'm free. Yeah.
All right, you and me. That would be fun. Okay, we're going to book something. Because I was just going to book a comedy club, because I have to give these people a whole lot of new material, because I was just in Montreal recently, but they'll just force me to write. We'll have some fun. Montreal's great. Did you say Eddie Iff's on the show tonight?
Yeah, now also Eddie's joining us.
On the Ice House show?
Yeah.
beautiful.
Tickets at Ice House.
You want to interrupt us and talk about something about yourself in the middle of us telling?
No? Yes. Nothing? Yes, the 10-minute podcast.
Oh, it
we
did
were
really
in the
well,
top
right?
three. We were in top three comedies of 2012. So listen.
You were in top three new comedies.
Yeah, top three new comedies of 2012, which was really cool. I was
That's
pumped.
Awesome, man.
Yeah, it was good. And we're coming up on our 100th episode.
How often do you guys do it?
You know, we meet every 2 weeks and.
Do a bunch of them?
Yeah.
And then who puts them out?
Will Sasso.
So he edits them and everything?
Yeah, he edits. He does it all. He's a nut.
Really?
And he's just fucking hilarious.
And all of them are 10 minutes long.
Yeah, I think Will Sasso, to me, and I'm not bullshitting, I think he's truly the most, he's the most talented actor, comedian, and all-around talent I've ever been around. I've never seen anybody sing. He can dance. He can fucking
do impressions.
There's
two problems right there. I don't need to see you singing.
Right. Well, that's what I mean. But no. But he can do basically everything, and nobody knows it. Like, if the world, it's just this business. But he's as good. He can do anything anybody out there can do, and as well or better, including Daniel Day-Lewis.
Well, I could do it.
Dude, he's sick.
Including Daniel Day-Lewis, you think he can do it?
I think if you gave Will a role, he had to be great in. I think he would win an Oscar.
Really?
I think he is.
I think you're in love.
I think he's Oscar caliber. I've actually, honestly, never seen anybody that talented. And he does shit. He does shit like,
you, right?
out of nowhere
Except
on the
you?
Podcast. Except fucking you? Way better than me.
Well, come on.
You're having a lot of man thoughts.
Silly. I'm just telling Stop you, man. It, silly. He'll do shit like out of the blue on the podcast where I go, how the fuck is he doing this? How is he coming up with this? It kills me. Mm. He's amazing.
Do you guys know about this whole Al Jazeera Current TV thing?
No.
It's really fascinating. Current TV... which is Al Gore's network. He just sold that shit to Al Jazeera.
No way.
Really?
So now Al Jazeera has access to millions of U.S. viewers.
Right.
It's really kind of fascinating. And I think Time Warner dropped them or Cox Cable dropped them. I shouldn't speak out of school, so let me Google this.
Language and Media Wars.
Yeah, Cox drops Al Jazeera.
Didn't,
drops.
What's his name? Didn't Morgan Stanley buy the Washington Post recently? Jamie Dimon?
Who did?
I thought Jamie Dimon of Morgan Stanley and his and Morgan Stanley bought.
Really?
Yeah. Can you look that up?
Time Warner dropped Current TV. So Time Warner Cable dropped them because Al Jazeera bought them. That's fascinating. Beep, beep. Meanwhile, Al Jazeera has good fucking news. I listen to Al Jazeera. Yeah. They seem to have pretty unbiased news.
They do.
Which is something that we could fucking use.
Yes, we could. Well, the problem is that, it like we always talk about, it really does seem like not only are corporate interests have never been, corporate power has never been so concentrated. Campbell Soup controls 70% of all the shelf space for soup. Colgate-Palmolive, I believe, control 83% of all the soap and toothpaste you buy. Coors and Anheuser-Busch are the distributors of all beer.
Uh-huh.
And so they have such power and concentrations of money and power that it's very easy to manipulate government to give yourself an advantage in the marketplace.
And that goes along with news as well.
Yeah, and that's I hope that's not happening with news, but it seems it is.
Oh, well, it's been for a while.
Right.
I mean, with Fox News being completely right-leaning. I mean, there's no doubt about it.
That's the threat to our democracy.
I was watching Fox News when they were joking around about, can we get rid of the president? This is right after the election.
Right.
And they were like, someone said something, and someone said, well, can we send the president over there too? I don't think we can.
Right.
But it was like...
It's supposed to be news. It's supposed to be unbiased.
Exactly.
Right?
It's not just supposed to be news, but what they're joking around about is not really even funny or a joke. And what they're doing is just letting everyone know that, much like you, we are upset with this win, this victory.
Right.
Because the victory of Obama does not go along with the programming of this network. Right.
Well, by the way, networks now, news program networks, a famous story was in the 70s when it was good news, they came in and said 60 Minutes for the first time got really high ratings, bad news for the first time we got high ratings. In other words, news has now become something you can sell advertising on, never should be the case.
Yeah.
And in fact, news has now become entertainment. You also have a channel called CNN or Fox that has to fill content with a lot of stuff over, 24 hours.
But then again, what's the option? The option is like PBS, which sucks a fat dick.
The option, I don't know the option.
Not all PBS
I do think it's up to consumers, and I think it's up
NPR.
I think it's up to just educating yourself. I love NPR, but it's up to educating yourself.
Stop it. You don't love NPR. There's a lot of NPR that is filled with people who talk like this. This is NPR. We don't have emotions. We don't have feelings.
Right.
We're just giving you the facts. We are live from Afghanistan.
My pussy's so wet right now.
It's not. There's nothing about NPR that's exciting because they don't have to compete. So they're not interesting. They're not entertaining.
Well, I listen for, you know, sometimes you listen just because they got interesting perspectives or
sometimes.
Authors and stuff
yeah.
like that on.
Well, they're allowed to do things because it's, you know, it's sort of
public
funded.
Yeah, yeah.
They can get away with things right. that you can't get away with if you're competing in the public market.
Well, they can get into segments like in depth and stuff. A lot of times what you know, these news programs have to keep everything in a chunk because they have to cut to advertising. So you get bumper sticker, you know, very kind of periphery mm-hmm. ideas of what's really going on the ground. And I don't think it's the best way to get your news.
Well, it's also what National Public Radio does. It's so boring, and they interject all these ads,
yeah.
like these pledge drives and shit. And that
yeah, that's only four times a year, but
doesn't matter yeah. when it happens. Like, yeah. they need to go podcast style. That's what they should have done.
Wow.
The podcasts are the answer to all that shit because there's no way you can have a conversation with someone like we're doing in any other format.
Right.
There's no way you can have a 3-hour open-ended conversation.
Right.
They don't exist.
Right.
They fucked it up with this. Are you okay over there? Do you just trying to make noise? They fucked it up with with being boring, and they fucked it up with their pledge drives that make your brain bleed. There's a fucking Terrence McKenna interview, and I swear to God, this guy every 5 minutes interrupts Terrence McKenna and says, "And if you're enjoying this conversation with Terrence, this is one of the things that we offer here. And if you could just donate some of your money, we may not be able to bring you
but
these
kind
of
conversations." But that's better than having advertisement every time you have a
show.
No,
it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Every 5 minutes, this fucking douchebag doing that?
Well, no,
that,
but that's literally
I would
one,
rather,
that's a week out of every, 4 months. I mean,
I don't know if that's the case. But in this guy, with this one radio show, it's
public
radio.
I'm a member, so I know.
Barf.
But they got
gross.
Good interviews. Terry Gross always has something, somebody in the
exciting
member? On.
Yeah. Of course you are, you son of a bitch.
Give him $50 a month.
They should be able to delete those stupid pledge drives
yeah.
from you. You should
yeah.
be able to press a
well,
green button.
Well, they actually
button,
have a lot of power,
pass right through.
I heard recently. My new decision is now I try not to have an opinion unless I've read at least 2 books on something. Like now I'm, and even when you read a book, it's so funny. I'm reading, I mentioned to you, Republic Lost, Lawrence Lessig's book. I'm trying to get him on my fucking podcast. He's so fucking smart. But he just talks about only issue we should be talking about is money and politics, right? And all donations should be anonymous. I mean, he's got different ideas about it. But he just makes a really good case of all the stuff that we talk about concentration of corporate power, about what money does. When you're a congressman, it's not about being a Democrat or Republican. You spend all your time basically raising money
mm-hmm.
To get elected again and just kind of what it does and stuff. But I just find that so many issues that you try to get into, like this gun issue and stuff like that, they're fucking complicated, and trying to really earn an opinion takes a lot of investigation. A lot of times I don't have time to do it, and there's so many different perspectives to look at, But
Sam Harris just wrote a very interesting and really well thought out piece about it. If you go to Sam's webpage, I think it's samharris.org, you can download it and read it. It made some really good points.
About guns?
Yeah, well, about the whole issue, what we're dealing with.
Well, Nicholas Kristof had a really interesting article that I kind of got my attention, where in Australia in 1982, forgive me if I'm getting the dates wrong, 1984 to 96, in 1984 to 96, in 12 years, they had, I think, 16 or 19 mass shootings, culminating with 35 people being killed in one time in 96. It was a huge thing in Australia. And they passed, I believe, 3 different measures. One was a 28-day waiting period, I think. Another was the type of weapon you can actually get. And then they bought back 650,000 guns. And by the way, everybody, I'm paraphrasing the article. I don't know if that's exactly, but it was 3 major issues.
I know the story.
And since then, they've had no mass shootings. I'm just saying, when I hear that, I go, the only thing as I say is, I go, I don't know if that's the answer. I just say that I don't like when the NRA says, well, there's nothing we can do about crazies. Yeah, there is. There's got to be a way to solve this problem. I don't feel like having my kid not be safe at school. There's got to be something. There's a discussion to be had about, we already have caps on lethality. You can't buy a fully automatic machine gun unless you have a really intricate license and go through a lot of stuff. You can't actually carry a gun out in the open unless you're in Arizona, and even that's difficult, right? We do have laws on the books. Is there a discussion to be had about, I don't know. I'm very careful with this because I just don't fucking know.
The real,
I own guns.
There's a real issue, though. That, I mean, it's what we were talking about earlier. There's a real issue that people have one side or the other.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen so many tweets that were like, "Well, too bad. If you like hunting, get a new hobby." Mm-hmm. Like I actually saw that somebody mm-hmm. wrote that. Mm-hmm. Fuck people having guns. If you right. like hunting, get a new hobby. Like that kind of stupidity exists right. too. There's one side that doesn't want to give at all, and there's the other side that doesn't want to give right. at all. And somewhere along the line, again, like I said, the real issue is mistaken and overlooked. And that issue is, what the fuck is happening to people that it's allowing them to do that?
Right.
What is allowing someone to completely lose their humanity? Because it doesn't just have to be a gun. You know, right. Timothy McVeigh did it with fertilizer.
Sure. Guy did it in China, 22 yeah. kids with a knife.
Yeah. There's a lot of ways you could kill people.
Yeah.
Did you hear about these assholes in Indiana that blew their house up and killed their neighbors?
No.
Yeah, it's fascinating.
Cooking meth? Or?
No. It's an insurance scam. They took out all their important paperwork and some valuables,
okay.
and then they opened up the valves of the gas that goes to the stove and the gas that goes to the fireplace. And then they set the timer on the microwave. So the timer on the microwave went off at a very specific time. And when it sparks, I don't know if they put like metal in it or something.
Probably.
I guess that's what you do. It just blew the house to smithereens and blew the neighbor's house to smithereens too and killed the neighbors. Crazy fucking assholes.
And by the way, they didn't think they could figure this stuff out?
Well, these dumb fucks left the gas on for hours before the microwave went off. So you're talking about a giant cloud
Jesus
of which is wide open gas being pumped into this spot. All the doors shut, all the windows sealed.
Ugh.
It was like a gas balloon in there. And so when that bomb went off, I mean, you're talking about it obliterated the house. It's unbelievable. So I talked about it yesterday on the podcast, and somebody put a link up to the actual story. The actual story is mind-blowing.
Damn, it killed the neighbors,
these
too.
Fuckheads. Yeah, so they're in jail now for murder.
Mm. How'd that work out? How'd that insurance scam? Some people really fuck up. It must be such a surreal thing to be like, I wanted to make some money, mm-hmm. and now I'm going to be in jail for the rest of my life.
You know what they were doing a lot in California? They were getting people, and they would slam the brakes on in front of them.
Yeah.
People would slam into them, and they said, "Oh, my neck!" And they were suing insurance companies. That was like super common.
The other thing they were doing is they'd come in and get some obscure. You'd have a business mom and pop shop, and they would sue you based on some weird obscure law, and then get you to settle out of court.
Have you ever seen a video of people faking falls?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
Yes.
I've seen some of those.
Supermarkets spilling.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, I can't
just
get up.
They
problem
just
is,
look
guess
around.
What? You're on fucking video, dumb
yeah.
dumb.
It's hilarious.
Dummy.
They didn't know. You know, people didn't know how much shit was videotaped until they tried a few of those lawsuits.
That's the thing that I notice now is in my life in 2013. Everywhere you go, they're watching you. Everywhere you go. Hotels, anywhere you go, you're being watched.
Yeah.
You know, traffic. It's just interesting.
Yeah.
In some ways, it makes you safer. In another way, it's like, you know, as long as it's not one central hub and one group of people watching. If it's a lot of different people watching, fuck it.
It's a lot of different people watching, but
right now,
who gets to decide what gets watched,
what gets listened to. Yeah, the cops.
Well, Obama just signed a very controversial bill that was 5 more years of warrantless wiretapping so that the feds are allowed to just decide to listen in on your phone calls anytime they want.
Yep.
Like, how did that happen? No warrants? Like, are the judges that fucking busy?
The idea is that, that takes a long time. You got to go through all these channels. Sometimes they need access immediately.
But cops have been proven over and over again to have issues and
correct.
Be corrupt, especially
human
cops.
Beings.
What if a cop liked a girl?
If you're trying to solve a problem, if you're trying to solve a problem, you're gonna fucking do. You get like it's like the deer. I was supposed to shoot a buck. Then we were on the other side where you could shoot a doe, but I was like, I'm not gonna shoot a doe, not on camera. That was fucking. I had 3 hours. The guy, you want to shoot a doe? I go, I'll fucking shoot anything. I'll shoot a human in a deer suit. Just let me open fire on this fucking thing. You know, you get an objective and you're gonna bend the rules. You know.
Well, that's super common with cops. I mean, the planting evidence, planting guns. There's got to be a way that you can figure out how, you know, if someone's telling the truth. And right now there's not. And since there isn't, you know, people can fuck with things and bend things.
That's
and
how
you have
human beings are going to take their, they're going to fucking,
Yeah, and, lie detector tests are inadmissible.
Yeah.
You don't have to take them. And if you do take them, they don't count in court. So it's right. It's not even doesn't matter. You can't even bring it up.
Right.
Like I don't even think you're allowed to bring up polygraphs.
Well, because they don't work on sociopaths either. Yeah. They stay really calm. They don't lying to them is because lying is about you know basically not looking good in front of somebody. You're trying to hide something, and their approval means something to you. Sociopaths don't have that.
Yeah, they
that's
don't
why they
a
can
fuck.
Stay so calm under pressure.
That's creepy.
They're just so fucking calm.
With Bernie Madoff, they were saying that after it was over, like he didn't give a fuck. Like he was always like, I need orange juice. Where's my orange juice? Like they're like, do you realize what the fuck just happened? Like, you just robbed people of billions of dollars. You crushed people's dreams. People are committing suicide, including your son.
Yeah,
I need an orange juice. There are orange juice here. Like he was just what he had in his mind, what he wanted.
It's a sociopath.
Apparently, his wife slipped away. His wife apparently slipped away with some money too.
Well, she couldn't. I don't think she could even get her nails done where she was living. So
not where she was living. Right. She had to go to another spot. But if that bitch moves to Beverly Hills, no one's gonna know who she is.
Nah, nobody
change her last
either.
Name.
Nobody gives a fuck around there.
They don't give a fuck.
Beverly Hills, in some ways, is the worst place on the planet I've ever been to.
In what way?
I've never seen creepier looking people in my life. I've never seen. I just find it just. I went to Barney's because there was a sale. That's my first mistake because I'm going to buy clothes. I never buy clothes. I wear T-shirts and jeans. I'm like, I'm going to go buy.
Well, you wear fancy shoes.
Yeah. I try.
With zippers on the side
fucking,
of them.
Like my Nike Freeze right now. And I go, yes, I do, by the way. I was like, I'm going to buy some boots with a zipper on the side. And this is the year I wear a leather shirt jacket. And by the way, I'm going to get some cashmere zipper hoodie sweat cashmere because they are soft and they're sexy. Blah, blah, blah. Fucking didn't buy anything because I have no patience. I get there. I'm like, I can't try this shit on. I'm exhausted. And meanwhile, it's just you just see these fucking dudes who've never done a push-up, but they're spending a fortune, $700 on shoes. They don't have the scaffolding. Their bodies are all soft and shitty from chasing that dream and climbing that wall that they don't even want to be on top of. And now they've got money to buy awesome threads and they're 46 years old and they got that great convertible and they're going to pick up chicks tonight, but they got to wear fucking ostrich skin boots and you know, a felt hat with a fucking scarf by Hermes. And you just want to be like, dude, just end it. Jump out that window right now because your presence is depressing
watch.
Me. Oh, yeah. Oh, fuck yeah. Hey, listen, I walk around with $30,000 on my body. Peasant. No, not for me.
Yeah, that's a weird thing, isn't it? The showing all the wardrobe, like the wealth, showing the wealth.
Dude, my
in
my
your
buddy
clothes.
Told me he spent $140 on a haircut. I remember I never forgot this. He goes, I spent $140 on a haircut, dude, but I feel it's worth it. I was like, I'm not friends with you anymore. How's that sound? I just on principle can't hang out with you.
He said he feels it's worth it.
Yeah, they really layered it, though. They knew how to... What do you think of my hair? He was, like, dead serious. What do you think of my hair? I was like, how about I punch you in the face? What do you think of the right hand, you fucking idiot?
Well, there's something that's very East Coast, especially, where they just don't tolerate preening.
No, you don't fucking... That is correct, sir. I told you when I showed up with my leather fucking awesome leather pants from France. And
you wore leather pants?
I was in fucking France, and this hot saleswoman... had me try on a leather jacket. And she goes, c'est très joli, hein? C'est très joli. Means that's really good. I go, oh, merci beaucoup. And then she goes, you know, nous avons le pantalon pour toi. C'est comme... And I was like, okay, so pants. I put on chocolate suede leather pants, dude. And hold, wait for it, bought a pair of boots that went with them. Meanwhile,
there's no boots that go with that.
That's exactly right. I literally, my buddies are like, what the fuck? I come out, my friends are watching hockey. They turn around, they go, fuck has he got in his legs? I go, no, I got these. These are leather pants. They jumped on me as a group without even a signal and pulled them off and threw them out the window. That was the last time I ever fucking saw my $300 pair of leather pants.
Well, that's one of the good things about being on the East Coast. You know,
fuck yeah, it is.
One of the good things about being on the East Coast is there's a lot of shit that they get away with in L.A. that you just couldn't
dude,
ever get
I
away
showed
with.
Up the first time I saw Jimmy Burke when I got home after Mad TV, I decided to wear a fucking hat. I'm a hat guy now, apparently, because I'm on TV in L.A.
What kind of hat? Like
it was
a
fucking
Frank
Kangol
Sinatra?
Hat. Nah,
oh, Kangol.
No, but I had it turned around backwards. And you know, it doesn't look bad. It's just that it's not me. I'm not that guy. I never wear hats, and Jimmy knew it. But suddenly, I'm going to wear fucking a hat. And I had an awesome, like, awesome shirt that I'd bought with, like, cool design. Jimmy could see right away. I walk in, and he goes, dude, it's so fucking good. good to see you, man. I can't. I'm so proud of you. Take the fucking hat off right now, or I'm gonna slap the shit out of you. Like, didn't even miss a beat.
We missed up Jimmy Burke's introduction to the world. We got him too high.
He was too high, and he didn't know what the fuck to
People
do.
People didn't know what.
Dude,
to
Dude, he passed out in the car on the way back.
Yeah, a lot of guys try to go deep with us. They don't know what the fuck they're getting into. Yeah.
We got to get him back. We'll get him back sober.
Yeah. If you're not a regular marijuana smoker, or if you're smoking marijuana from other parts of the country, especially if you're smoking marijuana from a place that doesn't have a medical marijuana program, the odds of you getting like really good stuff, they drop significantly.
He hadn't slept. He hadn't eaten. He doesn't smoke a lot of weed. I smoked your weed one time, and I was high for 7 hours. How about that?
That's a good batch. Yeah. That's how it's supposed to be. Why would you want some fucking
shit? I know.
Shit
I called you. I'm like, I'm still
quick.
Fucking high. I've had two meals. You're like, that's how we roll, son. That's not helpful.
Powerful.
It is. You just got to go with it. Stop being such a control freak.
You're right.
Just relax.
Just relax. Take
Thanks.
It
Let it go, my friend. Some people are asking me, when you guys went hunting, did you guys smoke weed out there? No. Like, is
didn't.
It? You don't need weed.
No.
Like, you know, people that think that you need weed always to have a good time, they're just as silly as the people who think you don't need weed to have a good time. Like, you don't.
I
want to
go shoot hogs.
Anything.
I want to go shoot hogs in Northern California.
Right, well, dude, we could do that too. All
right.
We can, you know, we can definitely shoot pigs. They're wild pigs are. There's
I'll
no.
Eat pigs.
There's a season. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, all year round, especially in Texas. Texas, you can shoot them at night.
Wow.
You put flashlights on them and blast them. You could trap them in Texas. You could shoot them from helicopters. You can do whatever the fuck you want. You could drive in your truck, rolling down the window, and shoot them out the window. Yeah. They opened up a new highway in Texas, and the first night, four people ran into pigs with their cars.
Wow.
On the first night, four accidents.
Wow. Those are huge.
Huge. 250, 300, easy.
Yeah,
no
easy,
problem.
Easy, easy.
And just slamming into them at 80 miles
pigs
an hour.
Pigs can get up to, what, 1,200 pounds or something crazy?
Oh, yeah. The really, well, Hogzilla. Have you seen Hogzilla?
Yeah.
I don't know how much that fucking
crazy,
thing weighed,
it's
but that's
thing in the world.
Probably more than
but that's
that.
A, that. What I think is a feral pig, a pig will go feral in the wild in like...
Three weeks.
In 3 weeks?
3 weeks.
Oh, I thought it was three generations.
No, 3 weeks. They're one of the only animals that physically morphs when it's removed from domestication. Something happens to them. When we're feeding them and we're taking care of them and we keep them in a pen, they stay like white and pink. When they get out in the wild, their hair changes. Within 3 weeks, it starts to happen. Their hair starts to change, their tusks grow, and their nose extends. It's crazy.
Wow.
They completely become a different animal.
Well, I think they're also, aren't in Northern California, they have some, they have, what are we going to be hunting? We're going to be hunting the Russian
right? There's that as well. Russian wild boars, they introduced those, but they also started interbreeding with pigs. And that's some of the larger ones. Some of the larger wild pigs that you find are hybrids. And they said that was about... Hogzilla was one of those.
How do we find them in Northern California? Do you have to...
Well, Ranella was telling us that there was a place that he has a friend that has a ranch, and they show up every morning at the river. You know, there's a river that runs through the ranch, and all you do is you get there in the morning, and you go by the river, you wait, or creek, whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
The pigs show up, and you blast one.
That'll be a short hunting trip, though.
So what? I'm not into like doing it all day.
How about
I mean,
that?
It's fun, but
we were so fucking cold the first night, second night, and we were sleeping in tents. And you're taking dumps outside.
Oh,
the whole thing sucks. Eating that shitty food, and we're both freezing. And I just hear fucking Joe go, camping below.
Yeah, we talked about this before.
I know.
The first night we did it, the first night we got there, it was pouring rain. I was like, wow, what did we get into? We're in 5 days of this. 5 days of being just freezing your ass
so
off,
fun.
Getting rained on.
Oh, so fucking fun.
Yeah. Well, that's why people do it. You know, I always wondered, like, why are people out there hunting? That seems like fucking gross. There's no.
Dude, I have such a respect now for not only hunting, but also the animals I was hunting and for the land. You cannot be a good hunter the way those guys hunt and not actually have a deep love. I would argue that guys like Ryan, our guide, and Ranella have a much deeper love and certainly a way deeper understanding of animals, animal behavior than anybody who doesn't hunt or any vegan.
Well, you have, I don't know, I'd say more. You know, I'd say they definitely have a big love of it and a great appreciation for it. I don't know what other people have, what appreciation a vegan has. Or I mean, everybody's individual. I don't think you can really generalize.
I'm just saying it requires a great deal of respect and
doesn't necessarily.
You know?
That's why yahoos go hunting, too. There's a lot of crazy fucks who go out there and they get hammered and shoot
everything.
No, I was
talking about what we did. And I was impressed with how much they knew.
What we did is called a fair chase hunt, you know. But there's people in Texas that hunt in a high fence setup.
Yeah.
Like, you can have a high fence. I saw one that was for sale that was 200 acres.
Yeah.
That's not that much.
Yeah.
And in 200 acres, there's a gang of deer in there, and you wander around through the woods, you set up a fucking stand, and you have feeders. And there's a big thing is the feeders.
Yeah, but that's
and
they, so boring.
6 I mean, o'clock in the morning, you say it's boring.
I'd
it's
eat it. I'll do it if I want to eat it. I like harvesting. That's called harvesting meat, not
well,
hunting.
Well, it's right. not the same kind of hunting because you know there's animals there. But it's also those animals at least are living a natural life as opposed to the animals that live
on
a farm.
That's why I mean it's harvesting your natural meat. I'd call it target practice and harvesting natural meat.
Yeah.
But hunting to me is kind of what we did, which was the idea of having to not only know where the animals were, how they were going to behave, where they were going to be, getting up early because that's when they forage, all that stuff, glass in the field, going 3 days without getting a deer, you know, that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, that's, I mean, what we did, we're still super lucky. You know, we both got a deer the first time we went hunting. I had a friend when I was growing up, David Abel. And David's dad used to go out hunting every fucking year, and this guy never shot a deer. He never shot a fucking deer. He went every year. The guy was a hunter. And he's like, yeah, my dad's a hunter, but he's never shot a deer. I go, your dad's never shot a deer? No, never shot a deer. How often is he hunted? Every year. He goes out every year. I'm like, dude, you're doing something fucking way wrong.
He's got a bad scent or
like,
something.
I don't know. Well, it's just people don't know what the fuck they're doing. You know, Ranella is like a legit hunter. You know, some people, they just go wander through the woods. Well, hope a deer shows up so I can shoot it. Is this a good spot to stop? We'll just stop right here and wait for a deer.
Right.
And you might get lucky. A deer might wander in front of you, but most likely no. Especially when you're dealing with, like, heavily hunted woods, you know, like big pressure.
Well, they know the difference, too. Deer know when they're being hunted, you know. It's much
harder.
They
can smell you. Yeah. Like, you got to be real careful about the smell. There was a couple times, like, when deer saw you, they would, like, go, what the fuck is that?
Mm-hmm.
They would sort of stand around a little bit and look at you. But if they smelled you, they would fucking bolt. Because we smell like killers.
Yeah, we eat meat.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When smell like meat eaters.
A deer can really smell that, and it's a trip to see. We were up on this ridge, and the wind was blowing behind us and straight towards this deer. And this deer looked at us and started fucking running. Just full clip through the woods. And I was like, is that because we saw him? I go, no, they wouldn't do it if they just saw us. They smelled us. They can smell.
That's like elk.
Like, you can smell bad pussy.
They...
But you know what's similar? Skunks. You know, like, people say that our sense of smell is not that strong. It's right, but it is with skunks. A skunk can have, like, one part per million. You know, like, the amount of smell that a skunk releases from his ass is really not that big, but you could smell it in your car.
Oh, yeah. You can smell it in your car. It comes right through the air conditioner.
When you're driving a half a mile away, a skunk blasts a dog, and you're a half a mile away, you
can
smell
that
it in your car.
That must be how dogs, like, pick up scent.
It is. Supposedly, that's the best. We can't, normally, we can't really wrap our heads around that until you bring up skunk, and then you go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Why can I smell that? I can smell the fuck out of some skunk.
Like bloodhounds, you know?
Yeah. But you could do that. I mean, imagine if you could do that with, like, fear. You know where the fear is coming from.
Wow. Yeah.
You know, or you smell a murderer. You know, that's what a deer is essentially.
You know, they
doing.
Say that you can smell things and you don't even realize, but they register with you, like based on your childhood and stuff. Human beings pick up minuscule. We still pick
pheromones.
Up the particle. Yeah, and there's a great deal of information in that.
Well, the idea of one of the ideas that was bandied about schizophrenics was that it was a pheromonal disease. And that people smelled you and you smelled wrong. And so they acted weird to you. And so you started thinking, oh, wow, I'm weird because people respond to me weird.
That's very interesting.
Yeah. And there's also, I think it's called allophrenia. And the idea is that if you are around a schizophrenic person, like say if you're schizophrenic and I go to visit you in the hospital, it's possible that through me interacting with you, I can exhibit schizophrenic behavior. Like unknown, unheard of schizophrenic behavior before.
You know, I remember there was a girl that I could never figure out why I wasn't attracted to her. And she always liked me. I could never pull the trigger. And I realized one day she didn't smell like anything. Because a friend of mine goes, you know why I don't like her? And I said, why? He goes, she doesn't smell like anything, dude. She doesn't have any scent. And that, and I was like, and I would hug her and I'd go, and there was nothing, literally she had no scent. It was, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like this, I don't even know how to describe it. It was like, obviously there's a scent, but it was scentless. It was like, I don't know, man. It was
there
a
is
really
a
wild
weird
thing.
Thing that people give off. And I don't know if I'd call it a smell, but I do call, I always say it's a smell. Like I could smell the crazy on this bitch. I always say it's a smell, but it's not really a smell. It's like a thing that people give off.
Well, it's a rhythm, you know?
Pheromones or whatever that is.
Yeah, whatever.
But
that's
not
like Ryan Keeley. She's like, if a guy doesn't smell right, I'll just be like, fuck it. I don't care how awesome you are. If you don't have the right scent, she's...
Well, our friend Patty, one time, did she ever tell you the story?
What?
She was on a... She was, and I met this guy. I actually knew the guy a little bit. She went on a date with this guy like 3 times, and he just didn't smell right. He didn't smell right. She just didn't like the way he smelled, and he ended up dying of AIDS. He had AIDS.
Whoa.
Yeah.
She smelled him
yes.
dying?
Yes. She was like, I just don't like the way he smells, and I just can't pull the trigger. I don't want to kiss the guy. I don't want to.
Whoa.
And then he ended up, it turned out he was, and I'm not saying all people have AIDS smell, but I'm just, this guy.
Was he gay?
No.
Drug user?
He was a drug user. He used to be, and he got it that way. But he was, he fucking ended up dying of AIDS.
Wow.
You know?
That's fucking Frankie. Dark. You know, I still can't get anybody to fucking debate Peter Duesberg.
Yeah.
Matt Staggs has tried time and time again. He has searched out all these researchers, all these doctors. I've gotten people that like are apparently researchers that have hurled slurs at me and fucking, you know, said that I'm almost guilty of murder by having him on. And I was like, look, I don't have an opinion. I've said it and I'll say it again. With the AIDS thing or with HIV or anything where I'm uneducated in, it's absolutely terrifying to be too stupid to know who's retarded. Because I don't know if he's right. I don't know if they're right. I don't know what's going on. But I know the guy's brilliant. And apparently his cancer research is top notch. He's like made some leaps and bounds in cancer research. Yeah. He's got some really interesting work that he's done that's very respected. And some of the most, like, is the first peer-reviewed stuff in a long time. But there's a lot of people that don't buy anything that he's saying when it comes to HIV and
AIDS.
Well,
I think a lot of people there are a lot of people that have worked very closely with that virus and so, you know, it seems that and have been very, very tireless in raising money for things and, you know, things like keeping people on retrovirals and things like that. So I think that there are a lot of people that seem to are in the trenches and do know a lot about it. And maybe when someone like Duesberg comes on along and says something like that, they're not even interested.
Duesberg.
Whatever his name is.
Duesberg.
They're not even interested in debating it. There are a lot of people who will be like, well, it's too crazy to debate. So.
Well, I think that any light that you could shed on it, even if you're debating with the idea is that if you give him power by addressing him, is that you somehow give him legitimacy?
Legitimacy? Yeah. I read what he gave me, you know, what was the problem with it was that not that he had his point he had made, but I didn't see enough. It was just a paper. There wasn't enough. There wasn't enough peer-reviewed cohabitation with the paper. There wasn't enough sort of enough people saying, yes, we've done the same research, we've looked at the same data, and we concur. That was the only issue. Even though he was citing mainstream statistics. Like the World Health Organization and the United Nations and stuff like that, those same organizations he's also arguing with, yet he's using them as his, you know, points of reference. So, you know, I read it and
well, that's because he's trying to make a point about the deaths in Africa and like what everybody talks about, like what AIDS was going to do to Africa. But in fact, there's the same amount of people who have AIDS as had AIDS back then, but yet the population is tripled and it didn't have the same effect on the population that everybody said it was.
Right.
And that he's got an absolute point.
Sure.
It's rock solid. See, it's not. I don't think it's an either or. I think what he's saying, he has some very good points. I wish someone would explain what's wrong with what he's saying.
Well, what he's saying.
There must be something.
Well, what he's saying, I think, is that he said that the what's controversial, he says, HIV, he knows that there's HIV and he agrees there's AIDS, right? But he says HIV doesn't cause AIDS. What causes AIDS is you can have the HIV virus in your body if you live a healthy lifestyle and you're not doing poppers and drugs. you know, you can survive with that and it will not manifest itself as AIDS. Those that had HIV
sort of,
in their...
What he's actually saying, right? No, what he's saying is that the evidence of HIV in your system is not evidence that you have caught AIDS and it's diminishing your immune system. The evidence of AIDS in your system is evidence of a diminished immune system, because that's the only way HIV exists in your system. He's saying HIV is a weak virus, and that the only way your body can't fight it off is if your immune system is already compromised. That's essentially what he's saying. And he believes that compromising is from drugs. And, you know, having him on was a weird thing because, you know, look, the guy says he wants to come on and tell his story. I don't understand enough of molecular biology to know if he's right or wrong, but I do know that he's a fucking professor at Stanford.
Berkeley, rather.
Yeah, I mean, he's a recognized guy. I mean, he apparently at one point in time before all this HIV/AIDS thing was very well respected, but now he's a pariah. So I don't.
He may be crazy.
He may just be
a complete kook.
We had a lot of weird shit. Like called black people svatzas, and you know.
Yeah.
My favorite thing is the Nazi dog.
The gays, you know. You can say it's funny. You can say the gays, yeah. But you can't say the blacks. You can say the gays love disco, but you can't say the blacks love chicken. You can't say that. It's like, you know, there's a certain amount.
The gays love disco? I didn't know.
Yeah, you could say that.
Disco.
They love to dance. You could say the gays love to dance.
I love to dance. What's that make
Do
me?
Do you really?
Fuck yes.
Not really.
I want to be a Spanish dancer. I want to be a professional fucking salsa
you
dancer.
You
want to
be everybody.
That's what I want. I
you
do.
Put, you don't want to be yourself.
I want to be Nick Diaz.
You want to be everybody
I
but yourself.
I want to be Alexander Karelin. I'm bored with myself. What the fuck? I want to be a fighter.
You've been yourself for too long. That's all it is.
I want to be a fighter. I want to be Joe Rogan.
You don't want to be mean.
No.
No.
All right.
It's too difficult. Yeah. It's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
It's contradictory.
It's a lot of...
lie around in fucking warm water in the middle of the night and trying to figure shit out. It's too much work.
I know.
You're better off having less questions.
It is a lot. It's fucking... that's all I have.
You're better
questions.
Off being like a bowler. You know, something real simple. Just concentrate on knocking those pins down.
Well, think about it. If you could be one person, if you could be one fucking person in the world, and it can't be you... Who do you think would you be? Bono, Richard Branson?
I have never thought about that for even a second. Yeah. I've never spent any time wanting to be anybody but me.
Right.
Yeah. I think you got this life. I'm fucking super lucky. You know, you're super lucky.
Yep.
And you could say, well, I'm not as lucky as that guy. I'm not as lucky as that guy.
I actually never feel that way.
No, you're not that type
like
of guy, but there's a lot of weak bitches that do that. Yeah. You know? There's a lot of weird.
No, you use your talents that you have, figure what they are, and then use them to the best of your ability, and that's where the answers lie. I mean, fucking, you know.
Enjoy it. And, you know, and I had this guy who said something to me on my message board that said that I give too much, I'm too much attached to the idea that I'm responsible for my own success. And he's saying that a lot of people that are very intelligent people can barely rise above subsistence and barely get through and feed themselves. And like, that is horseshit.
It's also not even the conversation to have. It's also, what's the point? The point then is you're making
Well, the point is you're saying that, you know, I shouldn't be taking credit for anything that I've done and that I just got lucky. But that's ridiculous because, what, I got lucky at everything? Everything from martial arts to comedy to commentary to running a podcast, all that shit's luck. All that shit's luck? That's crazy talk. Like, to say that someone is lucky because they've achieved success that you haven't been able to achieve is so self-serving and so stupid.
Yeah, of course it is. It's also giving him, it's also letting himself off the hook.
Right,
it's
exactly.
Suggesting that luck is all chance. There is luck in success, a degree of always, but at the same time, you're not serving yourself in any way by even having that conversation with yourself.
Exactly.
You're making an excuse for yourself, and even if your excuse is valid, even if you actually have a great, your whole family, God forbid, dies in a fire, nobody really at the end of the day cares. You got to suck it up and figure out a way to make whatever happens to you work for you. You can't control the weather, but you can control how you react to it.
You show me a successful, or you show me an intelligent person, rather, who is involved in any sort of endeavor but is unsuccessful, and I'll show you someone who's doing it wrong.
That's right.
That's all it is. If there's people that are doing it right, maybe they got more opportunities than you did or than he did, but maybe they got less than that guy and they managed to succeed anyway.
There's no
evenness to the world. You just have what you're handed. This style of thinking that, you know, somehow or another, oh, you know what, man, you just got real lucky. You should be really happy about all the things that happened to you. No, barring health, issues, which many people occur, which can fucking completely blow up any plans that you have. You have to deal with cancer, or you have to deal with anything. Barring that, and barring psychological issues or mental deficiencies or anything physical, if you're a normal person and you have an interest in something, the only thing that's stopping you from being successful, if other people are successful, is you haven't figured it out
yet. Your methodology.
And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a loser. Right. It could mean you haven't figured out how to win yet, or you're going to eventually, you just haven't applied those things. Or you could even die as an old man who's still trying. You're still not a loser. You're just a guy who hasn't figured out how to be a winner
yet. And by the way, there are ways to look for the people that are successful. There are people that can show you how to manage your self-image. Managing, you know, how you think about the world, managing how you choose to react to things that happen to you in the world, that's fucking very important. Learning how to talk to yourself.
Here's the most important thing. The most important thing. Surround yourself with other people who are doing the same.
That's right.
They will inspire you.
And who hold you to the same standard they hold themselves and are honest with you.
Yes, very important. When I grew up, one of the big things about growing up and being ambitious is I had two friends. Both of them were named Jimmy DiTilio and Jimmy Lawless. There's two friends who both had businesses while I was in high school. And these motherfuckers would get up early, and Lawless was a contractor, it was a carpenter, and DiTilio was an electrician. And he had employees. By the time we were 18, this motherfucker had a truck, he had employees, he was getting up in the morning. They were ambitious. They got shit done. And if you were a lazy fuckhead sitting around on your couch watching television, not doing anything, they looked at you like you were a loser. Mm-hmm. And that work ethic, that like sort of East Coast work ethic, having those guys around me when I was young, though I had this completely alternative way of living, you know, with martial arts competitions and stuff like that, I knew dudes that worked hard. Mm-hmm. And I felt my friends worked hard. I have to keep myself up to that same sort of standard. If I had a bunch of losers who were just smoking weed all day and sleeping, who knows? Who knows where I would be? Surrounding yourself with like ambitious, positive people who are happy. So fucking important.
Yeah, and get clear on what you fucking want too. I always was kind of clear on. I even when I didn't know what I wanted, I knew I wanted something. I always had an image in my head of. I think that's really important. I think that.
Pursue
I always say, what
anything.
Do you want to do?
Pursue
like, what are you
interests.
Doing? Like, I talked to a comic the other day, and he's a really talented guy who doesn't write and isn't. I don't. And he's like pushing fucking 35. And I looked at him and I go, "You're a really talented guy, and I saw you 8 years ago, and you had something to say. What are you doing? What's the point of what you're doing on stage? There's no direction whatsoever." He's like, "I don't know." I go, "That's your problem. You've just stopped thinking about who you are, what you're trying to do with this opportunity, with this expression. Is it just for the public embrace? Is that all it is?"
Some people get stuck in a rut. You know, that can certainly happen.
Start asking yourself questions that help you out of that rut then.
Inspiration, you know, and that's one of the most beautiful things about podcasts is I think there's more more inspiration available in podcast form than in any other medium.
Absolutely.
It's just the conversations that we've had on this podcast in the 300-plus episodes that we have. What are we up to, like 306? 306 episodes. I mean, so many of them have been filled with inspirational people. And just conversations like this. When I get emails from people telling me that, you know, "Oh, I lost 90 pounds. I got on kale shakes ever since I started listening to your podcast. Changed my life."
It's great.
I know, but then I know that I was onto something, that it's not that there's a bunch of losers out there. It's there's a bunch of people that are in bad patterns. Yeah. And they could be winners. They just need to be around people that inspire them and get them on good patterns. And much like people getting fucking nutty about masturbation and jerking off to their dick bleeds, or getting nutty about washing their hands. Like, people can get on shit patterns. They can get on these weird patterns.
There's a great article that I just interviewed her on my podcast, Christy Wampole. She is a professor at Princeton. She
sounds like a great porn star.
Yeah, and she's beautiful. She's beautiful.
Is she really?
Dude, she's beautiful. She's 35 years old. She wrote this incredible article called
"With a C or a K:
How to Live Without Irony." Wampold is
Christy
C.
With a C. Got to be with a C.
Yeah,
and
she's a professor at Princeton, and she speaks
that's
French
and
all that.
Is that her?
That's not her. That's me. Cleaning my butt, and Will Sasso took that picture and put it on the 10-minute podcast page.
Why would he be there while you're cleaning your butt?
Because I was going, "Look at my butt, I'm cleaning it," and he took that picture.
Why was he in the shower?
Yeah, that seems odd.
Because I was changing. Look at the back on me, though. I'm muscular as shit.
I don't think you need to have that photo.
Why? That's a dense. Look at how my ass kind of.
Are you happy with that? Where that looks?
I don't know. I like my body. But she in the article, I read it four times, the article, she said, and we, but not to plug the fucking, the Brian Callen show.
Oh, my God, she's beautiful.
Dude, she's gorgeous, and she...
And you had her on your
she's
podcast?
She's brilliant. I had her on the podcast.
Did you fall in love?
Yeah, she's so smart, and she's so articulate, and she was talking about how hipster lifestyle is a product of, it's a very good article, but hipster lifestyle is basically a product of a generation of people who feel like they have nothing to offer as far as new ideas or new thoughts or anything like that.
Detached.
Yeah, and so what happens is there's this preemptive, it's called preemptive living, ironic living, the idea of, I've already failed at it, so I'm going to poo-poo it and not really try hard. And trying hard and being direct with what you want is considered very gauche. It's considered kind of like uncool. And the way she does it, it's called Live Without Irony, or just listen to the podcast. She encapsulates what bothers me when I walk into a coffee shop and a guy's dressed like a 1920s conductor with a mustache and a hat, and he's just too cool for school and not really trying. And that, I could never put my finger on why that sort of hipster behavior got to me, and she captures it perfectly. It's nothing wrong with tattoos, nothing wrong with dressing cool. It's the attitude around sort of a culture that doesn't believe they have anything to offer.
Well, it's people who are pretending that it's cool to not care.
Right.
And it's never cool to not care. That's stupid. It's a total cop-out.
Right.
It's like, who gives a fuck? Stop it. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It does matter. Every moment matters.
That's, it does matter.
You're silly.
Yes.
You're being silly and you're wasting your life, because every single moment matters, and the moments that you fill with passion are more exciting moments. They're more thrilling, fulfilling. They're more satisfying moments.
Right.
And for you to sit there with your fucking cardigan on and pretend it doesn't matter, and, you know, you're a silly bitch.
You're lying to yourself.
Yeah. You're lying to yourself, and you're not going to get anything done.
And you're walking around a critic and a cynic. So you have nothing to offer but criticism of people who really do try. And all you do is you can come up and say, you're really lucky, that you should feel really lucky that you're doing... Well, that has no relevance to anything. Yes, life has luck. But I work really hard, and I'm really direct, and I go for what I want.
Yeah,
there's nothing wrong with that.
There's a bunch of people that don't want anyone to take any credit for anything that they've done, because somehow or other they feel that if you have succeeded in any way, shape, or form on your own, without any provable, like, lottery-style version of luck that must have struck you, how else could you be in a position that's ahead of me?
Right.
How else could you be in a position where you're making more money, or you have more success, or you were by my age?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be some lucky break must have been bestowed upon
you. And what I say to people like that is, stop looking at people that way. Look at people in a different way. Look at a guy like Joe Rogan as somebody who's inspiring, and going, if that guy can do it, that's an example of what I can do.
That can be empowering. But if you sit back and decide in your head that, well, you know, you have to realize that you got lucky. Okay, no, I don't have to realize anything.
Right.
And you're being a silly fuck. You're wasting thoughts.
You're not doing exactly. Yeah. You're not doing yourself any favor with that kind of thought.
I watched Real Housewives of Beverly Hills last night talking about wasting thoughts. And
that's so funny that you just said that.
These wretched cunts, okay?
Which is what they are.
Some of them, not all of them. Yeah. Some of them, I think, I feel bad for them. They're just women who need money, and they're stuck in these weird social situations with hanging out with these other cunts. And they're all vapid. And they had like a 10-minute part of an episode, more than 10 minutes, at least 15 minutes, where they talked about whether or not a girl was rude for telling another girl to shut the fuck up. And that's all they talked about. Like, oh, she was so rude. You know, why did she say that? She didn't have to say that. Why did she say that? I thought it was so rude. Of course it's rude. You know, well, I think her point was, well, forget about what her point was.
Human beings who need conflict. And if they don't have conflict or something to push against, they'll invent crazy social bullshit.
But it was the whole episode. And I was like, this is so fascinating.
Yeah.
I watched a whole episode of Jersey Shore. And in the whole episode was the situation, wanted to leave the club, but he wanted everybody else to leave too, but they didn't want to leave. So that was the whole episode.
Yes!
Was the situation, go, come on, let's get out of here.
I'm going to watch Jersey Shore.
And they would pull the individuals aside, you know, in the style of the show, like they would be facing the camera, and he'd be like, well, you know, he wasn't scoring, he wasn't picking up any girls, so he wanted to go, but he was being rude about it, and we didn't want to go. And he's like, "Come on, let's go." I'm like, "I don't want to go." It's the whole episode.
Do you think those shows are popular because they allow people to kind of, it takes the pressure off people. They feel like they are watching kind of themselves. What do you think?
It's a trick. It just ropes you in. It hijacks all of your normal systems that are set up to monitor actual life, and you're participating in a life that you have no stakes in. You have nothing in. You're nothing involved. You know, whether this guy breaks up with his wife or this, like a lot of those guys that the people like men are on that show. And they're starting to realize what dumb cunts their wives are, and they're fucking bailing on them in the middle of the show. Like, Kelsey Grammer got rid of his wife in the middle of the show.
Really?
Yeah, that was part of the show, is that she wanted, you know, my husband's famous, and I'm going to step out behind his shadow. And all of a sudden, she's on, and everybody's like, this fucking wretched bitch. What the fuck? So she was a extreme cunt during the first episode. Kelsey Grammer leaves her. Everyone hates her.
He's a really nice guy,
and
by the way.
And the hate. Oh, the waves of hate that were bestowed upon her completely changed her personality. And so then from that season on, she's super nice to everyone. Just fake as fuck and nice as pie.
If Kelsey Grammer leaves you, he's a really nice human being. Do you know, I never tell you my Kelsey Grammer story. He did me a solid. I'll never forget this guy for this. I'm on a date. I'm in Nobu in Malibu. It costs $1 million for dinner there. And I take this girl out who I'd seen singing, and she was beautiful. And I just wanted to get laid because she was such a good singer and so hot. She couldn't have been less interested in me. She was looking at me like I was a spore. But I had done Frasier.
How'd you get her out then? How'd you get her out?
I mean, she kind of liked me, and then she realized she was just like literally almost yawning through the dinner. I was like, I'm not going to get laid, and I'm spending fucking my house payments on this fucking dinner, right? So Kelsey Grammer comes in with a whole bunch of people. I had done Frasier, so I kind of knew him, and I had just done Inside Schwartz or some shit. Would you remember that show? And it was on NBC, the same network as he has, and he had seen it. The guy comes over, pretends he knows my name, but he couldn't remember it. So, hey, it's Brian. He goes, hey, I want to come over and say hi. I loved you in the pilot. You were great, and you were so great on Frasier. Thanks for doing it. And he basically was making me look good for this girl. He was so clearly throwing me the ball. It was so, I could tell he was doing it for me.
It's called jihading.
Yeah, and
that's what we used to call it.
No.
When someone blows you up. Like if I saw Brian.
Beautiful.
That's hilarious.
If I see Brian talking to some girl.
Jihad
me. You go over and jihad him.
Yes.
He'd be like.
That's what a friend does.
Yeah. Fuck
and the
yeah.
dude did it for me. And he barely knew me. I'd just done a show and stuff. And I'll never forget him for that. And that makes him. And he was such a fucking great guy anyway. Everybody loves a guy. But I mean, I was like, what a fucking cool guy. You didn't have to come over to my table and do that for me, but you did.
This one guy.
And by the way, I got laid on the side of the fucking PCH.
I was young.
I'm kidding.
With this girl?
This girl that wasn't impressed?
Huh? This girl that wasn't impressed?
Yes.
Did it clearly change her?
Yes, about face, bro.
Really?
That's what I'm saying. I didn't even make it home.
Do you guys see the commercial with Brad Pitt's brother? He's now Doug Pitt. He's now the host, spokesman for Virgin. You want to make a bet?
Come on.
Virgin Mobile Australia. He's the main host
now.
May
I see that?
Is a real brother?
Yeah, and he looks creepily like him, like as if this guy got hit by a car and they were twins.
Really?
Wait.
What are you
doing? Let me find the real commercial for that. Somebody...
That's a joke. Yeah, I can tell you that's a joke.
No, it's real. They had him on the Today Show yesterday or 2 days ago. Here he is, Brad Pitt, brother.
Okay, well, while you're looking up that, there's another thing I wanted to talk about gang rapes. Have you heard about what happened in Ohio?
No.
Speaking of gang rapes, there was a high school gang rape where these guys drugged up this girl. This one guy, apparently the girl broke up with him. So he's like, no whore breaks up with me. Like, put it on his Twitter. Right, and like they put like really horrific shit on their Twitter, these high school football kids, and they would go around. They called themselves the Rape Crew. That's what everybody called them.
Nice guys.
And they would drug girls and gang rape them.
Jeez.
And they took this girl, this guy's girlfriend. They drugged her up and they took her to several parties, not one but several parties. She's completely unconscious, and they fucked her. And then they made a video, and this is all anonymous, bringing all this shit out because they found out there was a big cover up in this town. Because this is we talked about the area of the town where it was.
Yeah.
What was it? What was the area?
Steubenville, I think.
Steubenville. Well, there's a video, and in the video that they just released, these kids are bragging about the rape and about how dead the girl was while they were fucking her in her butt. And she had like she was deader than OJ's wife. She was dead, and he jokes about it for 10-15 minutes.
A fucking piece of shit.
You got to pull the video up because it'll shock you when you find out that this was about a gang rape, and then you see these guys doing this. It's gonna.
Well, they're done for the rest of their life. Good job,
oh,
guys.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Good luck getting a job now. You fucking
definitely, but scumbags. But it's also like
I did crazy shit as a kid. I never that's just the definition of a fucking asshole.
Yeah,
just a bad human being, just a bad egg, like a sick dog.
It's one of the
I can't
darkest
watch that shit. It makes me sick.
It's one of the darkest things I've ever seen in my life, man. It's really hard. It's really hard to watch. This kid was just like sitting there with his buddies, just joking back and forth and laughing, you know.
Yeah.
It's
bad.
It's just hard to imagine.
It might not be up anymore, right?
A real 17-year-old boy. No, no, it's there. It's still there. Pull up Ohio high school students joking about.
Yeah, I got it.
Gang rape. Yeah.
For Newsy, I'm Logan Tittle. A cell phone video leaked last week by hacktivist group Anonymous has added fuel to the fire surrounding an alleged rape in an Ohio town. A group of high school football players is accused of raping and kidnapping a 16-year-old girl who was allegedly drugged, taken to numerous parties, assaulted, and urinated on last August. Now, a new piece of evidence in the case shows the teens laughing and joking about the alleged events. And we must warn you, it might make you uncomfortable.
Drug name four player for the gang. She's deader than a doornail. They raped her harder than that cop raped Marcellus Wallace in Pulp Fiction.
The video was allegedly posted on YouTube the night of the incident, along with Twitter posts and pictures taken by those who were at the parties where the girl was being dragged. The Daily Mail explains the Ohio town is torn by the case, with some supporting the girl in her accusations and others taking the sides of the players, claiming she made up the horrific events to hurt the football program.
Oh, yeah.
So far, football players, Trent.
Yeah, that's what a lot of girls do.
Yeah,
they make
up girls do.
Horrific,
to hurt the football program.
Because that's not bad for their reputation at all, to say that you've been gang raped.
Yeah, and urinated on. And then you get the guys bragging about it.
Before we do this, though, but it's an important point that we had talked about before, Brian, about that, like, Anonymous is, like, the person who's, I mean, they are the real group with morals. And again, they're proving this. I mean, this is
know about Anonymous.
They go after shit, man. When they find out that someone did something fucked up like this, there was some chick that drowned a bunch of puppies and threw them in the river. They found out who that fucking bitch was. They went after her.
Wow.
They found out who she was. They put all of her information online. They contacted the police. And it's the same thing with this. All these videos are coming out because of Anonymous. You know, and there's a lot of people that don't want to get behind Anonymous. They think they're vigilantes. When justice is not being done through traditional methods, isn't it someone's fucking responsibility who has power to do something?
I think so.
They're doing the job of the police. They're doing the job of someone who looks after citizens. You have a daughter, man.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if this is your daughter and you have to find out about this way?
No, I'd fucking have to go buy myself a machine gun.
It's unbelievably sick, but this is being glossed over by this fucking town. If you look into the story behind it, I looked into it even more after we talked about it and just read all the shit and then watched this video. And I was like, this is crazy.
I don't understand how you gloss over a fucking, like, something like that.
Because it's financially. Financially,
give a fuck how much money?
It's devastating
to the town.
It's
like the Sandusky thing. It's like when those guys knew that he was fucking young guys. Here's what you do, young boys. When you find out somebody, when you see somebody fucking a 10-year-old or whatever it was in that shower, I don't know how old the kid was, you put a towel around the kid and then you go right to the fucking cops.
Yeah.
You turn that guy in. Fuck your football program.
Yeah. Yeah.
There is a point where things stop, where you go, it's called game over. You go, oh, hold on. It doesn't matter. Nothing else matters. Don't go, yeah, he raped a kid, but. You can't, there's no but after that.
But what is making boys willing to do that? I was never willing to do that when I was 16.
It's mob mentality with one bad egg and a bunch of weak kids or just boys who don't know what they're doing.
Is that what it is?
Don't know the difference. It's like it's camaraderie and they're fucking and aggression and they haven't yet processed because they're boys and they their brain isn't completely. Teenagers do crazy shit.
An argument that there's a meathead jock mentality that's cultivated?
I don't know that sports cause you to do that. I think it's usually a couple, one, two, three really bad kids are just shitty people who are too fucking dumb or too immoral to realize what they're doing.
They want them to be super aggressive, too. They want them to be super aggressive because super aggressive kids make for better football players. The more aggressive they go out and take it, if they're like real sweet and kind, they're not going to play crazy violent football.
Young boys, they found young teenagers. The reason, you know, somebody said if you took every teenage boy from the age of like 14 to 21 and put them in jail, we'd have zero crime in this country. Is the idea is that when a male brain is forming, you deal mainly with the frontal cortex, right? Not in the middle brain, the back brain, whatever it is. I can't remember.
But that's not true. That's crazy.
Well, the idea is they're impulsive. They're hyper aggressive. You know.
There's certainly that, but what I'm saying is that in that sort of culture, there's a cultivated sort of an attitude about. I'm not saying that it encourages rape, but I'm saying that when you have a bunch of kids that and they're not getting the proper guidance and they're encouraged to be crazy and aggressive, you know.
I'm aggressive. I was crazy aggressive. I've always been an aggressive person. I mean, I'm as aggressive as anybody as a teenager. I never in a million years would have gang raped a girl.
Right, of course.
Like that,
we already established that. No, but I'm just saying that. So why is it that they can? What's going on?
I think typically it's just whatever you want to call it, a bad kid, a disturbed
kid. No. It can't just be one kid. It's not. There's
no, it's
way.
A group. It's probably a group.
But why are you saying that it's one kid that starts this fire and then everyone else catches fire?
My guess is it's usually a leader in a group, a bad guy in the group. My guess is that's usually how boys delineate authority. There's always one alpha male, you know.
That's interesting. In this situation, I have a feeling that there's sort of a detachment that they all sort of cultivate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that this
I agree.
This angry, aggressive detachment. And some of that has to do with the ideas behind kicking people's asses and going out and being successful mm-hmm. in especially something as detached as like football,
mm-hmm.
where it's sort of violent, but it's violent in a sort of weird, tricky way where you're allowed to like run into each other and fuck them up, but you're not really fighting, you know. So there's not the same martial discipline and the things that are involved in competing in that sort of one-on-one endeavor. It's a different sort of group mentality type thing in sports.
I don't know. Because I think you have a lot of places. Those men in India never played football. Probably never played sports. And they
were probably gang raped themselves too, though. I mean, you know, you're dealing with a lot of it. In those situations, you're dealing in incredibly impoverished places.
Something happens to men too when you have one strong leader and some bad people involved. Then you have a couple of guys that want to be included and be cool, and they're dorks and they you know. I don't know.
How does someone raise a son that's capable of doing that to a girl? I mean, is it growing up without sisters,
maybe not having love
for your
mother?
Maybe
it's a combination of things, or not realizing that girls are the same, are maybe subhuman in some ways.
Well, I'm hoping that, like the New Delhi thing, that what you're dealing with in Steubensville, Ohio, wherever the fuck it is you're dealing with a bunch of backwards assholes that aren't getting the full version of the world yet. And that because of this, and because of what Anonymous has done and expose all this, that it's going to make that impossible to ever happen again. And the kids are going to be aware of that shit, and the family's going to be aware of that shit, and no one's ever going to try to pull anything like that off again because they know they can't.
I hope so. I do think that when you do that, what those guys did to that girl, I think it's very similar to what those guys would do to another guy with a baseball bat.
They would do it to anybody.
Yeah. It's an act of violence. So whether it's the girl's the target or some guy walking down the street who's a different color or wearing a weird shirt, that mob mentality with young guys happens a lot, has always happened.
It's the same thing that allows someone to beat someone to death because they're wearing a jersey from the wrong team.
That's right.
Like that guy in
that's
L.A.
Right. That that's a tribal thing.
Beaten
but
almost
yeah,
to death.
Yeah, yeah.
It is almost the same thing. It's like we're all together against everybody else.
Yeah.
We're together, fuck everybody else. And it's almost like the way you prove that you're with the group is to engage in these immoral activities that you would never do to someone who's a member of the group.
You're trying to one-up each other. I fucked her in the ad. Look at that guy. He peed on her.
He's
gay. Dude.
He's so crazy, bro. He pissed in her butt.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts.
You used
man.
To hear those stories when you were younger. I remember my buddy was like, dude, and John went to New York and he had sex with this hooker and he was banging her in the ass and we could hear her going, ah, and they're laughing. And I was like looking at her going, I don't know if that's that funny, dude. I kind of feel bad for that girl.
I just
think a lot of times it can also be like a level of compassion. You're either born with it sometimes or other people don't have the ability to have empathy, as much empathy with somebody else.
It's also those formative years, too. It's really terrifying about that kid in that video is laughing and bragging about the girl getting raped. What's really terrifying is that same boy could easily be put in Afghanistan and given a gun. I mean, what the fuck are you doing, man?
Sorry.
Yeah.
That. What are you trying to do, man?
I didn't do that on purpose.
The
Guy could have been
easily, yeah. You know, like that one guy who wound up going fucking crazy and gunned down a bunch of people who had been there forever. It's like
the other thing is that same boy may, with the right guidance, have been putting all that aggression into something productive. The when you look at that kid right now at 17, his life is done. I don't think. How do you come away with, you know? I guess when he's 30 or 40, you know, things wash away. But for he's going to be brought up on charges for rape, and your life is pretty much at that point going to take a major turn.
Well, and most likely the amount of public pressure that's going to be on trying these guys as adults is going to be huge. No one's going to want them to get away with this. They're laughing about this. They're going to want to send a message. It's like we got to figure out a way to stop the competition, like this idea that there's an us and them in society. And whether it's an us and them, whether it's Ohio people shit on Kentucky people, or it's men that shit on women, or gays that shit on straights, or blacks against whites, we have this division, this sort of like clan mentality gone wrong division in human beings, where we're willing to do fucked up shit to certain groups if we decide they're the Taliban, or we decide they're the enemy, or they're fags, or they're girls, they're bitches, or they're blacks, or whatever.
I do think I would suggest that it's getting better, not worse. And I would suggest the world is less brutal in that regard than it used to be. And the reason I say that is because there are eyes on it.
Yes.
And it's becoming easier and easier to identify and understand how similar you are to those people over there. Those people over there also have the internet. Those people over there speak a common language. I'm being offered stand-up gigs in Dubai and in Lebanon and in South Africa.
I would suggest you not take it.
I'm not going to. I'm just saying
they're
going to
put your ass in jail.
Right. I'm just saying that it's interesting that you have people there that want to laugh too, sometimes at the same stuff. We are connecting.
Yeah.
We are developing a neural consciousness. I mean, I don't know how long it's going to take, but it feels that we are, like I said before, being nudged in the same direction toward each other, having virtual experiences almost of what it's like to be each other. That's becoming easier than it than
one
it
of
is
the things
harder.
That scares me the most about that kid is what made that kid. Could that have been me? If I grew up in that kid's household, if I had that kid's dad, if I had that kid's mom and that kid's brothers and I lived in that kid's town, would I be him?
That's a legit question.
It's an absolute real question. You know,
you're drunk. You're trying to. You're not looking at the girl as a human being. She's drunk. She's passed out. You're just gonna have sex with her because it's not hurting her. It's all that stuff. You know, you're 17. You're a fucking retard.
There's a part in my act, which is a true story, where I talk about being on a boat and I was really, really high, and these dolphins were playing next to the boat, and through this long, I won't give you the whole bit, but I realized something that. It's very possible that everybody is exactly the same at the core, but we're just living these different existences with different biologies and different personalities and different sexual needs and wants and different life experiences. And I thought about it, and I thought, like, one of the best ways to treat people is to treat people as if they're you living another life. If every person you run into literally is you living another life, if you lived my life, you would be me. And if I lived your life, if I lived your life, I would be you. I would be you in every exact. I would have your experiences and your genes and your. And if we could get people to somehow or another consider that, that would be like the greatest idea for a religion ever. Instead of a religion based on the idea that there's some crazy motherfucker that brings people back from the dead and turns water into wine, and if you eat the wrong fruit, you're fucked. Instead of that guy, how about the idea that all of us are the same and we really could get so much more done?
Well, one of the tenets of Christianity, I think, is interesting, is that one of the main tenets, well, one of the things that Christ said is all you have to do is do unto others as you had them do unto you. That was, he said, if you do that,
But that's abstract. It's treat them as you would like them to treat you. What I'm saying is to treat them as if they were you. If it was you living another life, if we really are all one, then I am you and you are me. And it sounds hippie as fuck. But if people could figure out how to think like that, I think that would be the real life changer. That would be the real game changer. And it could happen. And that also would get rid of all the fuckheads.
But
because all the fuckheads would be held accountable the same way you're held accountable. Which is like what I was saying about that video. One of the things that disturbs me the most is I know that I am a flawed human being. And especially at times in my life when I was younger, I've been capable of doing crazy things mm-hmm. that were regrettable and that I got through it without doing anything like that. I got through life without committing any felonies or doing any horrible crimes. But that's just lucky. I could have been in the wrong environment.
I was just thinking the other day. I remember hitting somebody in the face as hard as I could. I was in a fight. I really believe that in that moment, I was trying to kill that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I was trying, like, when you hit somebody in the face because you're angry at them in a real fight and you hit him, and like, you're in a bar or whatever and you hit him, you're trying to, I'm so angry, I'm trying to kill that fucking dude, right?
Yeah, and they go down, and you stomp him with your boots, exactly, and all of a sudden you're a murderer.
It's the same mindset. I just got away with it because I didn't punch that hard or, you know, I hit him and whatever. I got girl hands. But that is the we have all made decisions, split second decisions through anger or whatever that could have landed us, could have changed our lives in a very, very different way.
And
there's no question about that.
It seems to me that a big part of this conversation, a big part of the issue, like what would allow a person to be to dehumanize a girl like that, what would allow a person to be a serial killer or a school shooter or any of that, it all goes down to the heart of the matter, which is trying to figure out how to get people to respect and treat other people in a better way.
Supposedly, one of the guys was her ex, too. So that's some.
You know, that was what
I said. He said, no bitch breaks up with me.
Yeah.
So he got her drugged.
But there are two things to think about also. I also think you have to make account for the fact that, first of all, these events, the reason you read about them, we talk about them, is because in the grand scheme of things, they're fairly rare, right? When it makes the news, so it's, thank God it's an aberration. It's a rarity. Did you hear about this? No, I don't hear about that every day. That's part of the thing. But I also think that, I really believe that the majority of people are good people and kind of do what you say. And then it just takes a small fucking handful. It takes a tiny fraction of the population to ruin it for the rest of us.
Well, I think you said something really important earlier, that people can get used to almost anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
and I think that's what it is. Like this idea that people can get used to horrific conditions. They
right.
can get used to a lot of fucked up. They can get used to eating fly burgers.
You can also
get used to gang rape.
You can also, because of technology, isolate yourself from the rest of the world more than you've ever been able to. You can live a virtual existence. You can be a young man who sits in his room all day and his only friend is the internet and video games. I don't know that that creates a killer, of course, but I do think we live in a world where you can certainly isolate yourself into a virtual reality where you start to believe the virtual is actual. And so now, when you're playing video games all day, it's just an example, now a human being is a target because you haven't had any interaction with a human being. It's like Malcolm Gladwell's book where as soon as the Bronx stopped being small houses where everybody knew each other and they built these huge structures where everybody was anonymous, it was much easier to kill somebody you didn't know them. You didn't know who they were. There wasn't a connection there. And so in some ways, technology is bringing us together. In other ways, some people are being left out so that they are completely disconnected and their only connection is a virtual connection.
Yeah, so, well, as virtual technology gets better, then it becomes even weirder. Because then the temptation to enter into virtual realms, they're going to be more and more satisfying and rewarding.
Mm.
So in the same way where it's almost like a race between these two forces, the connective force of the internet, the ability to bring people together through information and through social media, and then the virtual possibilities, the possibilities of living in a life of World of Warcraft and
right.
you know, and Call of Duty,
yeah.
you know, and how the idea that that can somehow or another change someone's view on interacting with people, because the way they interact with people on this fucking game is killing them all the time. I mean,
mm-hmm.
That's what they're doing, like, all the time.
Right.
And that those two forces are kind of duking it out to see, like,
it becomes your reality,
yeah.
right? I mean, it becomes your reality when you do it over and over again. I don't know, man. I think that when you're not having real connections with human beings, it can probably change you, some people.
Yeah, we're really not fixed yet. We're not done. We're like a work in progress, these
yeah.
fucking humans. But yet people want to keep everything the way it is right now.
I don't know. They learn, the more they learn about the brain, you know, the serial killers, the guy was saying, he goes, Dexter's never going to make a serial killer. Serial killers have different brains. We know that now. So sometimes people just have bad brains, man.
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, some people have giant dicks.
That's it, like me.
Why wouldn't
That's a hindrance sometimes.
Why wouldn't some people have fucked up brains? Some people are nymphomaniacs, right, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Why wouldn't some
that
people
exists,
be born?
By the way,
fuck yeah, it does.
Of course it does.
A lot of things exist.
Who is that? The guy yesterday that said that?
No. He didn't say there wasn't nymphomaniacs. What he's saying, there's no sex addicts. He's saying the evidence for sex addicts are like it's not sex that's making you addicted. It's compulsive behavior, and it can manifest itself in playing cards. It can manifest itself in anything. It's just like you have compulsive behavior, so your compulsive behavior is sexual. Holla at your boy, bitches. Brian Callen will be appearing. I was so smooth there. It's almost like a pro. Brian Callen will be appearing at the Punchline in San Francisco. Not this weekend, you fuckheads, but next weekend. I don't know who's there this weekend.
16, 17, 18, 19.
They ain't as funny, you fucks. Okay, so go see him, San Francisco, you badass motherfuckers, which is one of the greatest cities in the world.
It's
an awesome place to perform, as is Pasadena, where we will be tonight. Eddie Ift just got added to the show, so it's Eddie Ift, Brian Redband, Sam Tripoli, Jason Teeb,
Kevin Christie.
Greg Fitzsimmons, Jesus fucking Christ, you can't get any better than that, you dirty fucks.
He's awesome.
And it's only $15.
It's
and
only
it's the
80 seats, too. So this is like a small
VIP probably sold out
VIP
already.
Show.
And I'm there next week, most likely with Joey Diaz and Ari Shaffir, if Joey's wife has the little noggin. So send Joey out some love.
Yes.
If not, it'll be Ari's going to be working on some new shit. And that'll be the main room of the Ice House next Friday night, the 11th. Thank you, everybody, for tuning into the podcast. As always, thanks for all the love and all the positive messages. We appreciate the fuck out of it. And all the intriguing tweets that I get. I get some fascinating links. Really, really interesting stuff. And I appreciate the shit out of it. It's really an awesome thing to be connected to. I don't know how it all happened, but I am benefiting from it. We are all benefiting from it as much as you guys are. So as much as you say it changed your life, it helps you, it changed my life too. It's helping me too. I would never be able to have these long-ass conversations. Me and Brian, like, we hang out together more than we've ever hung out before because of this.
Because awesome.
We do this thing. It's great. It's the greatest thing ever. And you can see Brian's podcast. You can listen to it, rather. It's called The Brian Callen Show. Perfect name. And you can get that shit on iTunes, along with the 10-minute podcast, which is one of the top three up-and-coming new podcasts on iTunes. It got an award. We got an award, too. Right, Brian? We're one of the best comedy podcasts in Canada,
awesome.
Too. You fucks.
Yeah.
I love
Canada. I'm going to Vancouver, man. I can't wait.
When are you
there? 24th, 25th, 26th.
What are you doing up there? Yuck Yucks?
I'll be at Comedy Mix, yeah.
Oh, yeah. They used to be Yuck Yucks.
Yep. I love it.
That place
I love
is
Canada.
Shit.
I love Vancouver.
Yeah. Vancouver's one of the greatest.
Oh, they sell
there.
Out, too. It's so fun.
That's my number one place to bail when the shit hits the fan in America.
Dude,
Vancouver.
I'm all over it.
All right, you fucksticks. We will see you all next week. We got next week is an action-packed week. Adam Hunt is going to be on. Steve Volk is going to be on. Duncan Trussell is going to be on next week.
Yay!
And maybe even Jimmy Smith, if we could work him in, who's he does my job for Bellator, and he's a really good dude. So we're going to talk some MMA with Jimmy Smith. And all right, that's it, folks. That's it for the week. We love the shit out of you, and don't change, or do change. Get better. Get it together. All right, that's it.